Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm here, man. Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Low down on the biz and uplift the dialogue. Oh, yeah. Listen right along. This is straight off the press. The remix fresh with no prior song. Oh. Supplying y'all with the certified thoughtful. Yeah. To get the piece of the piece, it's time to call blow. Yeah. The raspberry wind is fragrant, and flavorful. Insatiable eardrums taste the radio. It can't be beat. The clash with me. That'll leave all your doors and all half the week. What? Positive and motivational strategy. Successful guests promote self mastery. BlogTalkRadio.com/The remix Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
And greetings, everyone. I want to say welcome, 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 everyone, to the remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue. And you know where you are. You are live in the remix. Peace and greetings, everyone. How's everyone doing tonight? Oh, how's everybody doing tonight? It is Sunday night, of course. And Sunday night, you're live in the remix. And tonight, it is. Let's see, Sunday, July the 1st, 2012. Wow, can you believe it? July is here already. So let's see, a little choppy here. Let's see, let's try to get this Skype thing going here tonight. Of course, you know, tonight is Movie Madness. We're doing part three of Movie Madness with Brother Panic, and Brother Panic is going to be here live in the remix. And he's going to be breaking down some more movies, giving us the science behind it as well, and decoding all of the bull, all of the BS in the movies, so you can really understand what they are and how you can begin to decode the movies as well. So good to have you guys in the hair, in the house tonight. So good to have you guys in the house tonight. By the way, just to let you guys, the chat room is open. So if you want to come on over, all you have to do is get yourself over here. 646-652-2711 is the number to call so that you can definitely get in the chat room. Want to say welcome to all of our guests joining us in the forum tonight. See, there's many guests in the house tonight. I know that if you're over here on Blog Talk Radio, all you have to do is click the button. Once you click the button, then all you have to do is sign up, tell us who you are, come on in, come in the chat room, chat, and share a little bit with us. Brother Panic's going to be joining us in just a few moments. If you guys heard the show on Friday night, we had a show as well, too. We did a little bit of Tribal Mojo Magic, and that was fun. We enjoyed doing that as well, too. So just lots of great things going on. You can also go back and listen to the show and download. That's a great thing to do. Welcome, everyone, in the house tonight. Good to see you guys. It's Sunday night. And, boy, it's a lot going on all over the world. So with that being said, let me say peace and greetings to everyone out there. I want to welcome all of our international listeners listening from all over the world, from Japan, the UK, Amsterdam, and everywhere off the globe listening into the show tonight. Good to have you guys in the house. And also, we have our first week of the Kim Business Class. Woo! Saturday night, and was it fire? It was amazing things, amazing work being done there. So the Know Your Magic Kim Business Class is in full effect, and it's a three-week class. And, boy, I'm telling you, the brothers and sisters in this class, whoo, fire, pure fire. Yeah, so you'll be hearing more about them and everything that's going on and all the amazing work they're doing as well, too. So greetings to you guys. Good to see you guys in the house tonight and have you guys here. By the way, we have some guests that's coming up on the remix We'll get a little bit more into that. But know that this is the month of July. Brother Panic's going to come on and talk about it some more. But Brother Wayne Chandler is making his way down to the ADL. And don't worry, no matter what part of the world you're living in, if you cannot make it, there is going to be live streaming. So this is really going to be great. And I can't wait for Brother Panic to come on and share it with us as well, too. I want to say thank you to everyone still purchasing the Know Your Magic Oracle Psychic deck as well. Those orders coming in. If you don't have your deck, where have you been? You must get it. It is a way to keep your magic current, to keep you online, build your psychic muscles, activate those things within your third eye and yourself by showing you a very, very honest, real, and true reflection. So all you have to do is go to www.msblueblast.com/cards, and do it right there. So no matter where in the world you are, you can get it because it's been all over the world, as well as the Know Your Magic audio workbook, which is still changing everywhere, www.msblueblast.com. So now we're getting ready to get into it. Brother Panic is coming on. We have a special selection that's going to play tonight. Brother Panic wanted this to be played tonight, and I'm sure he's going to tell us the story behind it. So we're going to be listening to a tune here, and it's by Prince Davis. And so here we go. Get yourself ready to groove. Wait, we got to play Baby Blue first to get the act kicked off. Brother Panic here in Movie Madness. This is part three. You guys wanted to hear this, so we're going to be doing it right here, live in the remix. Live in the remix.
La, 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 the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
right, you guys. That is Prince David, and nice beat right there. We're going to go ahead and welcome Brother Panic to the forum tonight. Here we go. Peace and drinks to you, Brother Panic.
Yo, what's going on, Blue? Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you loud and clear.
Excellent. All right, so we finally up to part three of this. And really, the way it's been going, I'm going to try to finish it tonight. Now, let's see. I guess we should get business out the way first. And one second. We are now selling tickets for the lectures. So if you don't know about this by now, you know what I mean? I don't think you should be even emailing. But those who do know need to know it's that time. So time to get these advanced tickets. Wayne Chandler Lecture is going to be on July 22nd. That's a Sunday, live in Atlanta. You can email me at AtlantaLectures@hotmail.com for tickets, advanced tickets. You can also email me there, AtlantaLectures@hotmail.com. So you can get information on how to view this live via web stream. That's right. This time we'll have a web stream. So if you're too far out of the game, you can't make it in. Brother Panic understands. But watching the lecture is only a click away. So what you need to do is email me at AtlantaLectures@hotmail.com. And get all the information, how to buy tickets, instructions, prices. If you want to be a vendor, then we're going to have vendor information, so on and so forth. This is a Wayne Chandler lecture. Wayne will be in the building. And let me tell you, this is not going to be a regular lecture. This is going to be some monumental shit, and you need to believe that. Let me say this, and let me say this right now. Wayne Chandler has one of the... his book is one of the foundations in this consciousness movement called Ancient Future. If you haven't got Ancient Future or read Ancient Future, you should be ashamed of yourself. Now, if you come to the lecture and haven't got the book, I'm sure Wayne will have it on hand, and that's your opportunity to get your sign like years ago when I bought and read it, Wayne signed mine. So that book is about... He goes into detail about the Kabbalion or the Seven Laws of Tahuti. And this is what Wayne writes, and this is in the flyer. He wrote, let me find this, this is what he's going to be talking about. The name of the lecture is called Ancient Future Revisited. Ancient Future Revisited. How to understand and use the seven laws of ancient Egypt for spiritual growth, financial success, physical abundance, and healthy, satisfying relationships. Mentalism. Learn why we are not in charge of creating our own realities and how to change our circumstances. Vibration. Our health is our greatest wealth in the domain of physicality. Who says that? Physicality. What causes the human body to degenerate and meet an untimely end when science now substantiates the fact that we are programmed to live indefinitely? How do we look at our biological codes for immortality? Gender. Why do our relationships constantly fail? What can we do to understand about our cultural progress that will ensure greater understanding and longevity with our significant others? Rhythm. What's the real meaning of 2012? How does it affect humanity and the rise of new consciousness? Wayne says, participate and become empowered. So, this is going to be some goddamn good shit for anybody who's a seeker of conscious information. So, this is something you must not miss if you are just way too far. But let me tell you, you really have no excuse. Last time when Brother Aleem came, we had people coming from L.A., a few people, not just one. And, you know, people from all walks of life. But I get it if you live in London. You get what I'm saying? And I understand that's why we offer the option of web stream. You want to web stream this. There's something you want to miss. Also, we're going to have VOD, video on demand, meaning if on that day you cannot make it, or based upon your time zone, you cannot make it. You'll be able to come later at your leisure and watch this video. It won't be a DVD immediately, but the video will be up. So this, you know, I bust my ass this time to make this information available to everyone. But first and foremost, we would like to see your face in a place. Brother Wayne deserves that type of support, if for nothing else, out of all the work that he has offered.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For the book alone. I tell you, this is a life-changing book.
And the first time it was ever done. The first time it was ever done by a brother or sister to be translated that way. First time that it has ever been done.
Absolutely first time. He goes into the detail of the true signs of the Aryans. Now, just that alone, this world, I mean, black folks are still thinking that somehow the Aryan nation is some other shit that you just get beat up by in jail. No, he gives you the true signs of the Aryan.
Yeah.
See, the Aryan is an ancient race, who will bring back the consciousness to the planet. This is one of the seven ancient races, and even the word Aryan, or how it's known and what it's been manipulated into today, comes from Helena Blavatsky. When Blavatsky went, and Wayne was actually telling me this as well on the phone, with all her knowledge, she's one of the first to bring metaphysical information to the West. And with all her knowledge that she accumulated, this is a white lady, when she went to the Tibetan monks, they told her to scuttle your ass back home. So she had to do a lot more work just to get and sit with them. But, of course, it's spiritual because that information would have sat in those mountains and never got out to the public if you just went, you know, she's this white lady. So eventually
right.
it had to come out. So spiritually, that's why you'll see them without information, because we have to get it back. So Blavatsky, when she was allowed in, they told her about these seven original races and the Aryans that would take it back. Later on, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was, but basically Hitler and the rest of those guys, and this original guy picked up off of Blavatsky, they mixed it in with Nordic mythology, which is Scandinavian mythology, and some of the things that Blavatsky uncovered about this mighty Aryan race that will return, and this pure blood. So it eventually became what we know as the false Aryan movement, Nazi movement, and then these monkey, these skinhead monkeys over here taking on something they have no idea of the origin of. So in Wayne's book, he goes hard in letting you know what the origin is about, that the blue eyes was connected to the chakras and creativity and all the rest of this jazz. Very, very detailed, very information. You it's a big portion of a falsehood that Wayne gives us back. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That Wayne gives us back with truth. Also, you know, like I said, he goes in detail with the seven laws of Tahuti. Now, if you don't know what that is, you could find that information free. Just look up Kabbalion.
Yes.
The Kabbalion is some our ancient information that was somehow escaped, written up, and is written by someone anonymous. And they just call themselves the three initiates, which is bullshit. All it is someone who decided to release information that was ours and locked away. Now, one of those laws is the laws of cause and effect. Now, out of cause and effect, based upon that principle, you get the laws of attraction, which is not a true original Tahuti law or Kabbalion law, but it actually goes under the law of cause and effect, which later on in the Bible became you reap what you sow, meaning what you put in, you get out, which
right.
means whatever you think about becomes your reality. You get what I'm saying? Whatever you think about becomes your reality. Now, and they said that in the movie Green Lantern recently. That was the whole thing. They said in the movie Green Lantern, they drop it all the time. They said,
We use this energy based upon will. Your thoughts are your will, and if your will is strong enough, your will become reality.
Yes.
They did nothing but tell you everything that you're supposed to be doing. All they just read was an old-ass voodoo book. You know what I'm saying? How to use your thoughts to become a reality. And they tell you this all the time. That's one of the keys to this, how we think. One of the reasons why I tell you don't come with me that I did this, but you come to me unsure about it, which means you're telling me that you're unsure, and that tells me more about you than anything you've done. So what you need to do is come to empower yourself, because that subject there is what Wayne's going to be talking about, how to realign your thoughts within the laws of the Kabbalion or the seven laws of Tehuti to get something beneficial and something practical how you can use today. And I know it's needed because I get the questions all the time. Somebody just emailed me with no subject in the body was, Patty, what the fuck is wrong with me? Question mark. And that's it. So what the fuck is wrong with you? You email Panic Pack at Hotmail when your ass need to be emailing Atlanta Lectures at Hotmail so you can come and find out what the fuck is wrong with you. Because Brother Wayne is going to be dropping it. Like I said, my whole idea of doing lectures was people who inspired me. Wayne's a master. So I need to see your asses there. Atlanta Lectures at Hotmail.com. All right. So also, I'm going to be doing magic classes. I'm taking care of the Atlanta people first. We're going to be doing it live at my house. The second phase will be via webcam. So I'm putting together the curriculum. What you need to do is email me in the subject, put classes. I won't answer you until I have everything ready and with prices and things are ready to go, but as long as you get on that list. Email me classes at panicpack@hotmail.com to get on that list. I will be going through all basic, it'll be 4 weeks of basic magic principles. When you walk out of that class, you will be self-sufficient and confident on how to set up altars more deeper than I've spoke about in lecture form. And teaching form is a whole different thing. So fairies, altars, cardinal points, elements, you name it. We're going to go down that whole list, dark versus light, how to harness power, how to make things, how to deal with the house, the magical feng shui, you name it, divination, we're going through it. So this is, if you feel you know some shit already, I don't even want you in my class. These are motherfuckers who's trying to learn. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you feel you magical, then you don't need a class.
Right.
All right. So we'll get to panic packs and all that later, but let's get down to some more of this movie business as people begin to join the room. Now, okay, what we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks are the mind control, the agenda, the science of movies. They have more than entertainment, as Brother Phil Valentine would call them, I believe it was him, entertainment. Every movie that comes out, really, in some sort, form or fashion, is a form of mind control. Everything with Tyler Perry, but then Tyler Perry is still mind control because it keeps the masses of black people asleep. So even Tyler Perry is still mind control, and not even some of the best mind control. It is the most lightest form of mind control in the movie because it keeps you debating and at least talking about it. The movies that really get your ass are the ones you don't even debate. It's the ones that tell you, talk directly to your subconscious mind and to your conscious mind, it seems absolutely harmless. So you don't say nothing but it was a good or bad movie. So, and if for the last two shows we've done, I've gone through shit. I'm only up to a half a page three, and we have 5 pages. And we've been going through those type of movies, and I explained how these, if if you need one thing to say about movies to understand the agenda, understand that it's an act of war. It is absolutely to control, tame masses, and lead masses. It is to tell you a subconscious story like anything else. You take commercials, for instance. There's very few times that you've seen a Snickers commercial and then you ran out to buy Snickers, but yet your house may be packed with Snickers or whatever the fuck it else you, whatever the fuck else it is, because it's not designed to deal with you with action-reaction. It's designed to deal with the background of your reality. The background of your reality. So Coca-Cola, Snickers, Comet, Ajax, aluminum foil, all the rest of that, because it, the commercials, why if McDonald's sells the most hamburgers in the world of that shit, do they still do commercials? Because seeing another commercial wouldn't help consciously, because everyone's going to still go to McDonald's.
Right.
What it does is it talks to something that looks holistic, looks holistically, that where everywhere you go because of the commercials, you see McDonald's as a reality. Even if you don't eat it, you still walk around talking about, well, guess what? I don't eat it. You even brag for that. They still would take that because you're still promoting it. You're still talking about it as a reality. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, I haven't seen Arthur Treacher's fishing chips for years. You get what I'm saying? but for a while, the motherfuckers was a reality. You know what I'm saying? Kenny niggas forgot that Kenny Rogers made chicken. You get what I'm saying? Niggas forgot that Kenny Rogers made chicken. You get what I'm saying? But the idea here is that it's no longer a part of our reality. If we consciously look at, yeah, it had bad fish, it went out of business. You get what I'm saying? Now, you know what I'm saying? I see my man Shabazz Pizzazz is in the house. You know what I'm saying? I just want to give a shout out to Shabazz Pizzazz. So, it's no longer a part of our psyche. So these things are, what we kind of think is, if we're against it, like McDonald's, Burger King, we don't eat it, that it still doesn't have an impact on our reality. The mere fact that we have to make the statement that we're against it means it's still working. What up, Shabazz? Means it is still working. You get what I'm saying? When it's out of our psyche, that means it's no longer a part of our reality and we operate as such. Now, you can do this. I can match that with why I tell you about if everyone's talking about the Illuminati, it's not what they're doing or what they're not doing. The fact that they got you talking about them is the magic.
is the war tactic.
That's the war tactic, the fact that they got you talking about them. So you can talk about Murder Kings and Whack Arnold's and Taco Hell, but you're still talking about it. You get what I'm saying? You're still talking about it. You get what I'm saying? You can make a whole diet based upon not eating that shit, but your diet is based upon not eating that shit.
Your diet is not based upon
this is the only thing that there is, so that's what I eat. Your diet is based upon when you open your refrigerator and there's a whole bunch of vegetables and you go, I'm guilt-free, then I mean it's still a part of your reality because you still have to factor in what you call bad. You get what I'm saying? What you call bad. So if you're understanding what I'm getting at here is the subconscious impact is a little bit more fierce than your opinion. They don't give a fuck about your opinion. They don't care what side of the board of chess that you're on, white or black. Play the game. You get what I'm saying? You're playing the game just to even have an organic diet because that means you're not organic and you recognize not organic. You get what I'm saying? If you lived in Africa, everything would be fucking organic. You get what I'm saying? There's no non-organic. You know what I'm saying? So now that you have this choice, Angus beef or regular beef,
oh, Okay, it looks like Brother Panic's call dropped. It looked like Brother Panic called drop. He'll be right back in just a moment. Let's see if we can get him in. If he can get in and see if he can get in. You're live in the remix, everyone. This is Brother Panic and Movie Madness Part 3 as we continue here live in the remix. Woo! Kenny Rogers and Chicken, you guys. Yes, forgot about that. Don't forget you can contact Brother Panic by emailing him at panicpack@hotmail.com, and he'll be right back. So, you know, just talking about those movies, and as we get ready to have Brother Panic come back on and really go through some more movies, what are some of the movies that stuck out to you guys as well? What are some of those movies, some that we haven't talked about yet, that really had some of the most impactive thing on you? Yes, someone in the room, BD, is saying, or DB, let me know, is saying most fast food restaurants use red and yellow. Yes, I sound a little choppy. Thank you, Shabazz. Yeah, that is true. They use those feng shui principles in all of the restaurants and foods. They use them in hotels. They use them in doctor's office. It's used everywhere. Color is really one of those powerful tools of magic that's being used everywhere. You could download one of those feng shui shows that I had and, where I go into that and talk about that as well. Brother Panic should be back on the line with us in a moment now. And as we continue here live in the remix, you guys, I'm so glad it's Sunday night and we're all here and having you guys here. So everyone is getting your movies together. Get your movies together. Some of those movies that I'm sure Brother Panic will cover. We covered quite a few in the first two shows, but we will continue to cover more as we continue to go on. Okay. All right. As we continue. So Brother Panic's going to be right back. Here with us. Peace and greetings to you guys here live in a remix. I think this is him now. Let's see if we can. The Last Dragon. Yeah, that's a great movie. Let's see. I think this is Brother Panic here. Peace and greetings, Brother Panic.
Yes. You got me back.
Okay. Got you back. We got you back.
All right, cool. Now, where were all we right before the Illuminati so rudely interrupted us?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about Kenny Rogers and Chicken.
Okay. So, let me make sure I got a charge because we'd be ass the fuck out. Hold on one second. But DJ, let me get your phone charger, please. Thanks, sweetie. Let me see, I may have, I don't know what's going on, folks. Let me get it situated.
All right.
Let me see. All right, I'm plugged in now. I'm good, Khadija. I use my iPod shit. All right, so now we in here. So the idea is to get this shit in your psyche. You get what I'm saying? The idea is to get it to a point where, because this goddamn shit is there.
Brother Panic, you're breaking up.
I'm still breaking up.
Yeah, you're breaking up. It may be me, but I really can't hear you. It's kind of breaking up.
All right, let me see. How's that? Any better?
Yes, it is.
Much better? All right, because I was moving around trying to get this phone off. Now, so the idea is to get you just, as long as it's in your psyche, and you are, long as you're fighting against it, then they made it a reality. And we was getting to the Illuminati where the comparison is, if, well, I tell you, you got to spend so much focus on the Illuminati arguing about it, they don't care what side you want. That the argument is the truth. You get what I'm saying? The argument is the truth. So movies are not designed. The idea in your mind that they're trying to say something to you that you are supposed to understand. Once you start studying symbology, mythology, symbology, you need to study mind control books. You need to understand subliminal attacks. You need to understand how the subconscious mind works. Once you understand those type of things,
right,
then you start to reveal to your conscious mind what it is they're trying to attack in the subconscious mind. That's why other things, like always challenging your reality, is absolutely imperative. If I do nothing else as I rant on some of these shows, it's to challenge what you think you know, even as someone who calls himself conscious.
Right.
Challenge it. Because once you start to satisfy yourself with a routine, you then shut down the conscious mind and it's open for attack. And most of this work that's being done in media is to shut down consciousness. So the little bit of consciousness that you find yourself comforted in is actually more vulnerable if you don't even challenge that. The idea is you're supposed to be always challenging what you think you know. Therefore, your conscious mind, which is full of chatter, is talking to the right part of you to question. You get what I'm saying? If you're dissatisfied, well, I am special because I'm Sekhmet, and I've changed my name to Sekhmet, you have now settled down into that routine, whatever that is, and you still are open for subliminal attack. The greatest part of subliminal attack is movies. Now, again, we're going to dedicate this show to Oscar Meshaw, which I gave out his name plenty old times.
Mm-hmm.
And Oscar Meshaw is the Spike Lee of his day, of the late 1800s, early 1900s. And I've done plenty of work, spiritual work with him when I went to Decode Movies. And one of his messages were that all of that other shit, chemtrails and vaccines, none of that's working. Food, none of that's working because the melanin adapts for that. He said what is constant and always being upgraded, there's a new movie, more than one, every week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's new mind control every week. That's what you're getting every week. You're getting chemtrails every once in a while. You get movies every week. DVDs every week. You know what I'm saying? Plus you think they're giving you Netflix for $7 for it. You get what I'm saying? Unless there's some in there that they can use. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So we need to identify archetypes. But talk all about this the last 2 weeks.
Can you hear Brother Panic? You're kind of breaking up a little bit.
Am I still breaking up?
Yeah, no, that's better. That's better. Mm-hmm.
After my phone charges, you can call me on my phone. All right, so we left over class. Rise of the Titans, which brings us to Hellboy. All right, Hellboy was a great movie story. If he was red, he was the blue chakra. If you look in the movie, the dark figure that's coming back is talking about ending the world, talking about bringing it down. He actually sticks one into two slots, yin and yang, raises this kundalini energy, this dark energy was coming down. It was a whole kundalini story. And, of course, like any other movie, they shut down the dark side, the energy beams lowered. So they're showing you subconsciously it's about keeping your kundalini energy slow. You still hear me coming in and out?
Yes, a little bit. It is better. It is better.
All right. Well, let me see if you can get me on my other line, Blue. My
okay.
phone is charging, so it should stay on.
Okay.
I'll keep this one on. Just take me out the queue, and you have to put me back on the queue.
Okay, you have your other line. It's on.
I'll see if I can get in. Because, you know, my phone's in better reception.
Okay.
If I can get in, but if not, you might have to call me on the other.
Can you? Okay. So you.
Nah, it's booked up. You might have to call me on the line.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's see. All right.
Okay.
See if you can call in first, and then did you? Oh, and it's full.
Yeah, it's blocked.
Yeah, I'm on Skype, so let's see. This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna play that jam by Prince again, and then I'm gonna see if I can get Brother Panic and call him.
If not, I mean, if you can still hear me, we could keep going. Just let me know.
Yeah,
I get a little bit better reception. All right, so let's go into Hellboy 2. Hellboy 2 was a little bit deeper with the science. It's Hellboy, his girlfriend was this was Hellboy 2. And the four elements are actually locked down. We are actually locked down in the four elements. These four elements.
You're picking up again bad. Mm-hmm.
All right. So you might have to see.
Okay. All right. Do this. Can you charge it into the wall and not the computer?
That's what it is. It must have not been. I thought it was plugged in before.
Okay. Okay. All right. Brother Panic?
Yes.
You silly.
Oh, I thought you were going to call me on the line.
Oh, okay. Call you on your phone. Okay, but I'm not on the line. I'm on Skype. So we're going to play the song, and we'll be right back, you guys. We'll be right back.
Hit 'em with adrenaline.
Everyone, we are live in the remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue. We're doing Movie Madness here tonight, live, Brother Panic. Let's go ahead. Let's see. Brother Panic online. I believe this is Brother Panic here. Peace and greetings, Brother Panic. Maybe not. Hold on. Two numbers, all the same. Peace and greetings, Brother Panic. Brother Panic? Brother Panic, we can't hear you. Are you talking? Okay, it didn't appear that we got a good signal on that line. So we're going to wait for Brother Panic to call back in. Okay, we're going to wait for Brother Panic to come back in and see what's going on. We're doing Movie Madness tonight. I see you guys are really putting out some movies out there. Hellboy. Let's see what other movies is going on. Someone said he needs to go outside. Is that the deal? Well, good to see you guys in the house. Don't forget Brother Wayne Chandler, and you can actually go back and listen to the show.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, this is a big party, man.
The fox, he's kind of foxy. Mr. Wolf, he's the guy who chased red through the woods and ate grandma. But a dog is a dog is a dog is a dog, unlike the wolf who made a widower of grandpa.
Yeah. Mother like my cat, the sexual ass. I wet the ab when I set my path. The vet don't crash, I'm built to long last. Grab my money clip, I hit the bong fast. Earn my respect, my checks, they better cash. Ping on the trigger with my nigga Fred Glass. Knuckle to brass, start snuffing you fags. Jumping out of cab, grabbing money bags. Next shot, right through your hovercraft. You do the math, my ass is tongue slash. When you learn, it's the turn to shaft. The genuine thriller, the middle of draft. My force might blur, the Porsche purr. The apple martini, of course it stirs. I'll do the honor, the Shaolin bomber. Shark skin armor, I bring the drama.
Mr. Wolf, he's the guy who chased red through the woods and ate grandma. But a dog is a dog and a dog is a dog, unlike the wolf who made a widower of grandpa.
You there, Pam?
Defecating on the map, Wu-Tang taking it back, no faking in the rap. Nah, I realize that these niggas hating on the fact that the kid is blazing his track and hating on him back. My dough stacked up with those who the Mac, ducking po-po, blowing smoke goes in the lack. To be exact, I want no hassle with the stat. And the big apple, we the rotten apples in the back, yeah. Saw villain, how the fuck y'all feeling? Non-stop bar killing on the block, we was killing them. The arch villains, when the blood starts spilling, any stuff starts spilling, body bags, we was filling them. Yeah, now I got it in the smash. I out some marijuana and a llama in the dash. Me and my comrades following the cash and living every day like tomorrow is the last.
The fox, got a foxy. Mr. Wolf, he's the guy who chased red through the woods and ate grandma. But a dog is a dog and a dog is a dog, unlike the wolf who made a widower of grandpa. I'm like the saber dog to your baby when you're lost out in the snow, like a coyote out on the desert.
recognize a jewel for what it is when you see it, or would you take it for something else and get told to fuck up? Men come together for the common cause, to beat your ass just because there's a line you don't cross, offending the boys. Why, of course, it's one selected for your headshot. I'm back in the yard again, the bar's calling. 15 cents of this to how you scrolling. Ladies like, damn, Papa, you looking right. I love to give you some of this pussy, and I'm a dyke. I write when the energy's right to spark friction. DJ cutting and spinning the back mission. Break pop, lock, chicken. Poetry description for the motion picture reenactment. Activate a hired assassin, keep it classic. Rap revolution, every black, yo, pass that.
All right, you there? All right, everyone, and we are back with Brother Panic and Movie Madness here live on The Remix tonight.
All right. Can you still hear me, Blue?
Yes, I can.
All right. And I sound clear. We should be rolling now.
Technical
difficulties are through. All right, so we was at Hellboy, and I was telling everyone, and, you know, I'll get up so we can get down to business here, how the four elements are actually a prison. Your body... your body, your bowels are earth, your lungs are air, your blood is fire,
right.
And your body is, what, 72% water. So that's your actual prison, these mm-hmm. things that came together. While we, like, I love the water, I love the air, that's all good because you're made up of it. But physically...
Brother Panic?
In that movie, if I remember correctly, like all of those movies, there was an energy. Can you hear me, Blue?
I can. Uh-huh.
All right. Because Khadija's saying they lost me there.
Yeah, for a second you faded out. Yep.
Oh, okay. All right. So all of these elements were fighting to actually stop the rise of something dark and ancient and sinister and all of that. But you remember, as we already pointed out, that everything dark and ancient and sinister is actually a subliminal reference to your ancient power. A subliminal reference to your ancient power. So you have these constant movies attacking this mean, dark guy who goes to somewhere dark to get some information, and they make him seem like a madman who wants to bring this ancient darkness back on the world. And you know, he's been this primordial, bad, insane, Satan-related guy, but this subconsciously is connected to your ancient power. Now, this is not a white man's idea. This idea actually comes from mythology. When they show you these things in mythology, the ancient people of this world decided to depict your ancient power as dark, sinister, misshapen, and ugly to this world. Not because it was evil in the sense of good and bad. It was evil because it represented the old you, your fight, and why these monsters and demons were always in these fights in mythology with this new sun god, because the new sun god represented the process of alchemy that you're going through. So the process of alchemy on planet Earth represents the path of the hero or Heru. You get what I'm saying? The path of the hero or Heru. So in mythology, what they're telling you or what they're encoding is this old evil. This represents the old you as you rule the universe. You get what I'm saying? As you rule the universe. So they took your old concept or way of explaining and just made him the bad guy in the movies that you cheer for to get defeated. But what you're actually cheering for or hoping for or emotionally attached to is actually turned around and weaponized against you because it's against your rise. So they showed you the four elements. You love Hellboy, but he just represents Earth because Earth is hell. And he's stopping something old from waking up and rising. You get what I'm saying? In this particular case, now I remember he was rise. It was they were trying to stop the Golden Army. Well, of course, the Golden Army represented the ancestors. at the same time, they had the third Mummy movie that came out, which was stopping the Terracotta Warriors, not by mistake. And the Terracotta Warriors, this was the same year that they had the Olympics in China. You get what I'm saying? Which is the Terracotta Warriors. So they did this big ritual in China for the Olympics. You got to remember, all the Olympics, the original Olympics is the Olympians defeating the Titans. Each time they do the Olympics, it's a celebration of the victory of the gods over the great old ones or their fathers or their parents, which they just showed you in the movie Wrath of the Titans or the rise of the Titans, where Kronos and Hades said, no, we need to keep our father locked the fuck down. Well, Kronos is a Titan. The Titans being defeated is nothing but you and your ancient power being locked down in the body. So when they're doing this over and over, there are certain parts of our energy that become active. One of the things that became active that year and they were dealing with was the Terracotta Warriors, which were ancestors. And like I said, the Golden Army represented those same warriors. They're only talking about us. You get what I'm saying? They're talking about us. You get what I'm saying? So this is subconscious, and what's supposed to be happening in your DNA, they are offsetting by with mind control in movies. I pointed out, movies are nothing but light and sound. Spirit operates on light and sound. I also pointed out to there are certain spiritual messages that we get in movies as well because they're using the same technology as spirit, so it goes both ways. So this thing can be turned around as well. You can see it in a different way as well, too, if you're that advanced enough to understand the concept of everything is from your mind. You get what I'm saying? Everything in your mind. Everything's from your mind. And, okay, let's see. Altered States. There's a movie in the 80s called Altered States. Excellent movie. Especially excellent if you're into the DMT, if you're trying to get more into the DMT, because they explain that. And the DMT, I can't remember the long name, but it's the spirit molecule in melanin. It is what needs to be activated in the melanin for you to have the spiritual experience. Melanin has many different levels. Most people are dealing with it on the level of physical melanin. But there's melanin in your ear, taste buds, that dictate your equilibrium, rhythm, all of these things that black folk naturally do and do it the best is based upon melanin, not just because of your skin color. It's for the physical level is why you get the statement black don't crack. Meaning physically the melanin takes care of you, renews you, and the only reason you get old is because you think that you get old. And in fact, that's one of the things that Brother Wayne is going to talk about in this upcoming lecture on July 22nd. Why you only getting old because you think you get old. Melanin can preserve you. Now, to spiritualize it, you need to activate the DMT. Now, there are ways to activate that DMT. The panic pack is one. Now, all the ayahuasca, the mushrooms, the peyote, the mescaline, all of those things are for major DMT experiences, meaning if you're trying to have an experience. But DMT you can activate through meditation, through sex, through breathing, through herbs, herb pack, and certain light narcotics, weed, liquor. You can activate it and have an experience. Now, what the herb pack does, what breathing meditation does in the spiritual work in general does, what that does is activate the DMT and create, and the longer you do it, the more milder it is, the melanin creates a memory. And then you could therefore call upon spiritual experience at will without the use of any substance. So that was the idea of the herb pack, not to flood you with a spiritual experience that's so profound, but as to work, break away the calcified pineal, have a deep, and start to create a DMT memory for you to have spiritual experiences. So in the movie Altered States, very early on in the 80s, they deal with this. They deal with it by doing going into sensory deprivation chambers, which is just basically black chambers. They go in to relieve themselves of all senses, and they can't see anything, and then they eventually have this DMT experience. Now, this movie is absolutely funny because they show an 80s white man trying to have this melanin experience. Eventually, which they mentioned, he had to go see shamans, and they dealt with all reptilian, reptilian archetypes. One thing I guess I should mention is all of these DMT experiences worldwide, all of these shamanistic cultures worldwide, when you look at their mythology or any of their writings, what you would see is a common reptilian figure, usually the snake. And that is because when you have this DMT experience, an extreme DMT experience off the Ayahuasca, people around the world would explain the same experience, meaning it wasn't personal, meaning they had to be going to a universal place,
right,
had to be going
right.
to a synchronized place or some form of reality, which why one person could have the experience on this continent
and someone else
can have the same on the next. Not just mm-hmm. society-wise, like you from this project and y'all got high and seen that, and they got high and seen this. You could find that in Jeremy Narby's book, The Cosmic Serpent in the DNA. Excellent book. Explains the DNA, DMT, the shamanistic experience, and how this was how the actual shamanistic experience was to realize DMT and perhaps realize the nature
right.
of the soul. Realize the nature of the soul. Me and Bobby did a whole program one time on talking about a research program on are you born with a soul or can you obtain a soul?
Right.
That's very hard shit to get in. And we first started with, well, what is the study that says you cannot obtain one? And really, there is no study. And one of the most profound, because we've always said that as black folk, we got souls and they ain't got souls.
Souls, right.
So we said, well, wait a minute. Where is the study that says you either got it or you don't? And then we both thought about it, said, you know something? The most you see on the soul is a Gnostic thought. And, you know, they go into the nature of the soul. No one can tell you what a soul is here because you don't even realize it here. You are only going on the theory. You get what I'm saying? This divine spark. You're not going to be able to break down the soul because there are masters who have come and gone who will tell you on their deathbed, if only I knew my soul. You get what I'm
right.
saying?
Right.
So you're really dealing with theory here. You get what I'm saying? Now, once we got down to studying other things, a lot of things started coming into play in terms of you gaining a soul. A soul is basically stardust or comprised of stardust. Every man is a star. Every woman is a star. You're here to cultivate that through your thoughts and through your work. So now, what is cultivation? Then, long story short, to stay on the subject, we got down to a lot of different studies, including Brother Kalindi's work, about what they were doing to realize the primal life force, which is represented as that snake. Even the Egyptian hieroglyph is that zigzag line that means life force. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So this to realize it is experiences with the soul. We also factored in the hippie movement. When they were experimenting with mind-altering hallucinogenic drugs in the 60s, what white folks started coming up with for the first time is something called love, to your surprise. Here's a daisy. And then they had to shut that down. Charles Manson was a government agent. What they were trying to do was talk about these long hairs and saying that, you know, all these drugs are violent, but there was not a lick of violence among them. In fact, they were starting to live tribal, remember? Breastfeed in public. walk around nude, some African shit, getting some shit we figured out a gazillion years ago.
Yes.
They were moving into a heart frequency. Charles Manson was a government agent. He was, they portrayed him or said he was one of them, and so did he. I'm a hippie. But then he killed all those people. So then after that, the hippie movement was over. Look what you hippies do. So they had their government, they had their little mind control or the little energy they needed to shut that movement down, because if that movement would have kept going like it's going, you'd be in a different world today. Different world today. You get what I'm saying? So in other words, through those drugs, white people were starting to have this revelation. In other words, coming face to face with the soul. You get what I'm saying? With the realization of it. And it's got to be because everything down here can evolve. Can evolve. You just see what we, where we're confused at as that we're in the same level of evolution as one broad stroke of humanity. Humanity evolved to this, that, or the other thing. Where they show you all day in every documentary you watch, the shit that we call technology doesn't even scratch the surface of what it is we were doing not too long ago, if you will. You get what I'm saying? So anything we think we're doing with technology doesn't even count in the world of human evolution. These scientists are still catching up. They won't even look at us as black folks as anything. For, you know what I'm saying? At the very least, they better look at the ancient man and the way we deal and think to even start to get to this advanced shit. So they're not even there yet. You get what I'm saying? So we can't even look at ourselves in the role of human evolution. Nothing here is evolving. You're talking about some shit that was gone and is not even catching up in the right path, if you will. So what that means is we need to understand we really don't have too much to do with them. What we're doing is focusing our energy on some hate speech, some goddamn white people ain't this. That's
right.
So beneath what it is you are. You need to leave that alone. Let them do what they do. I've seen and met white people who are actually studying your shit and becoming more advanced because they don't have the same distraction of white people as you do. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So you need to understand all of that shit is meant to keep you off your path. You get what I'm saying? You need to understand how advanced you are. You need to understand that you have full access to the melanin, full access to the pineal, full access to the kundalini. All of these things have atrophied in you. That's the only reason why you ain't walking around with fucking clouds on your shoes, because these things have atrophied. What we're doing here is trying to activate this with information, with things you could do, lectures, readings, oracle cards, herb packs. All of these become tools for you to activate what's already within. We think we need to accomplish something because we bought into another man's path of evolution. We don't need to accomplish anything. We need to reactivate what has already been activated in sleep through lifetimes, and you could name it star configurations, earth vibrations, technical grids, magnetosphere, chemtrails, you name whatever it is, but you need to stop calling yourself God and goddess if you don't understand that you can activate these shits again. So if you want to see a movie that shows you their level of evolution, you must watch Altered States. And the shit that happens to them, you're going to see how they tell on themselves. When he goes back to his primal self, see what happens. Movie Transformers.
Oh, yeah.
The Cube. Excellent movie. The Cube also represents Earth or lockdown. The Decepticons are always these evil bad guys. They want to unlock it and make the universe theirs again, but then you got that punk-ass Megatron, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
with that
right.
bullshit, the humans are a young species. They got a long way to go, but we're going to get them, fella. Let me tell you the mind control that was in that shit, more than what I just said. You had this young boy who took, at this time, when they dropped this movie, they had the epidemic where the bees, which is still an epidemic, where the bees were leaving the planet. What would they call them? Something beehive syndrome, where all the bees were just leaving the hive, dropping dead. Couldn't do it. So you had this kid in the Transformers movie with a car called Bumblebee. And Bumblebee was fighting to stay on the planet, fighting for humanity, fighting with humanity. So it was a whole mind control. See, they understand. See, we talk sometimes if they don't understand the power of your mind. No, they do. That's why they constantly
trying to control it.
So they understand this. It's your mind that's making this happen. It's your mind that's making the greenhouse effect.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Ain't nothing out there doing that but you. It's your time. It's your divine programming that's been set into place before you even knew who you was on this goddamn planet as Miss Blue, Brother Panic, you know what I'm saying, Esther, goddamn Big Bad Baphomet, Shabazz Pazazz. Before you even knew your name is that, program and the plan was already put into place by us. So there is no mistake here. If it's happening to us, it's because it is by design. It is by our design. Never forget that. How dare you say something else is greater than you to have your head spinning, to have you off of your square. You get what I'm saying? There's no such thing. Everything that you is doing is by your design. What you think, you don't get to say this is an illusion, then get to say this is happening. You get what I'm saying? None of that. You get what I'm saying? So since it is by your design, since it is your doing, all we're doing is acting out the path. This is nothing but alchemy. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
What they're doing is trying hard. What else could they do to change your thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
To talk to the part of you that's making this happen, because the conscious part of you doesn't think it's happening. The conscious part of you wants to save the babies. The conscious part of you is wanting to get better jobs, better banking. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Better queens and better kings and,
right.
And whatever the fuck it is we're doing. The conscious part of you has been programmed for that. Shit, I'll do you one better. You don't have to go past anything but movies to understand that. Every goddamn movie is about somebody saving some fucking body. You get what I'm saying? For more life. Every movie. And if every movie is like that, that means everything in you since you were here has been programmed for you to survive. Now, see, if you went and studied some shit, they'll tell you about all that flinching you doing, all that self-preservation that you're doing, that's a product of the ego, where you people talking about, I'm trying to get past the ego. There's no such thing. When you flinch, that's your ego.
Yeah.
When you hurt your toe and go, ow, and grab it, your finger, and you draw it back, that's your ego, and it needs to survive. It is your autoconscious is programmed to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? So that's a form of the ego. So living out that or having a philosophy about that, having a philosophy about that is, well, we need better schools, we need better this, we need better life, better food, better this, better that. Think about it. If you was a baby doesn't flinch.
No,
you put a knife to a baby, doesn't know that. So or a gun in a crib, the baby's going to smile and play with it because it doesn't know. So you learn this thing you call, well, self-preservation and each right and all my rights to live and be free, that shit ain't nothing. That's some shit you learn. That's a product of the fucking ego. My constitutional right, I have a right to do that. I'm American and all the rest of that dumb shit, thinking that shit's going to save your ass, that ain't nothing. That's some invention shit. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
That's an invention. So what we need to understand is you are constantly being told this, constantly. But you think that you gained power because you made it Afrocentric, your standard of what survival is. You get what I'm saying? No, I don't want no better schools. You know what I'm saying? I want cocoa mango and goddamn shea butter because that's what I'm from and that's better for me. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All that shit is a product of ego and what you have learned and been trained. And in every movie you watch, that's constantly being reinforced. I don't care how good you are, that shit's got to stick some motherfucking way. You get what I'm saying? So what they do is when bumblebees started leaving the planet, they gave you bumblebee. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then what they're hoping is your frequency, you fall so much in love with bumblebee that the bees will stay. They know how it works, that you will have a subconscious connection to the bees that are leaving. And keep it. And if you don't know how important that is, let me explain how important that is. The only entity on this planet that can pollinate this planet are the bees. The end. Don't trust me. Go to Wikipedia. Before this syndrome started happening, Albert Einstein said, if the bees leave the planet, we have 8 years to live. There's nothing that they can artificially do. Clones ain't doing it. None of that. So they cannot pollinate the planet, so it's a matter of fucking time. Them clone tomatoes and shit is going to be done. You get what I'm saying? And stop thinking you eating organic tomatoes. That's aren't these shit seasonal? So how are you eating organic tomatoes out of season? Enough already. You know what I'm saying? Enough. Stop it. Enough. You know what I'm saying? So that's the importance of bees. You get what I'm saying? So they gave you the bees. And, of course, in the end, they dropped 100 feet underwater. That's nothing but the seven chakras. So what they're doing is they're showing you the seven chakras are a prison, a light prison. Everything that we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Shabazz already talked about the movie The Happening. And in The Happening, I told you there are also unofficial part twos. The unofficial part two to The Happening was a movie called The Ruins. And it was all, and then they brought when The Happening was this big mystery that came and nature started attacking back. In The Ruins, they gave you the answer. They showed that it was definitely a Mexican pyramid that they had contained that got out. And then The Happening. So that movie first, The Ruins, then watch The Happening. And you'll see, oh, shit, they're telling you a story, and it makes sense. You get what I'm saying? So they do that as well. All right. The movie 1408 with Sam Jackson and I can't remember the other dude's names. Somebody's going to put it up in the room. 1408, it shows you yet again Sam Jackson was representing the ancient man, perhaps the Moor, who knew this mystery or the secret. You had this tenacious young white fella, John Cusack,
mm-hmm.
John Cusack, who's based on his ignorance, was like, fuck that, I'll do what I do, it's all fake. So in other words, he didn't believe or heed the word of the black man, and he suffered for it. The room was basically a dimension, but it was symbolic of them telling you, telling themselves something, those white folks who do deal in the mysteries, that you need to remember. They still are your father, even though we're acting like they're not. We're still their father, and we still hold the key to these mysteries.
Right.
So there are movies like that where they do reveal, but like I said, they tread lightly on that. And they go very, with the subconscious, they go very hard on showing, of misleading you into thinking of something else. So in that movie, you actually really forget about Sam because you're into this movie. But Sam showed you that he holds the key to all the dimensions. You get what I'm saying? And he told the white boy, don't go around, fuck around there. You get what I'm saying? But in his arrogant ignorance, he went and did that, got fucked up. You know what I'm saying? There's an old movie, if you can get, called
mm-hmm.
The Satanic Rites of Dracula, starring Christopher Lee.
I think I heard of that. Yeah.
Satanic Rites of Dracula. Bobby Hennig put me up on this. In it, they talk about eating the pineal gland. Now, in Skull and Crossbones, Real Secret Society, they do eat the pineal gland. It's something like the oregano rites or something like that to get empowered. Now, of course, you know, in those secret societies, They got Malcolm X's dick. I heard, you know, you never know how much is rumor, but they got Khalid Muhammad's penis, maybe a rumor, but that's what they were saying at one point. Not necessarily stolen bones, but I think some of the brothers, when they were transferring his body, said it was missing for a while, then it came back. Now, some other people told me they got Tupac dick in some of these secret societies. They actually worship these things. You get what I'm saying? They actually worship these things. And see, because while you don't understand that
right.
they recognize you as God, you thinking Tupac is this, and you debating whether you should do, you know, we can go on for days with these internal debates about less than nothing. They are taking your dick and doing rituals to it. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
They know where the power is. You get what I'm saying? So in the movie Satanic Rites of Dracula, they talk about it. But there's two other movies where they go into the shit straight up. Look at the movie Sin City. In Sin City, they show the priesthood, the Catholic
mm-hmm.
Church, said they was eating niggas' brains or some shit like that, and they was gaining these superpowers. Talking about niggas. You get what I'm saying? In the movie Sin City. Also in the movie, what's the name of this shit? Starts with an R. Maybe I'll get to it. It's going to come back. They were eating niggas and getting niggas power. Ren something. Hold on. I'm going to find this motherfucker. What's the dude? Guy Pearce was in this movie. I'm going to find this right now. Excellent fucking movie. They show motherfuckers straight up about to die eating motherfuckers. This shit was all about Negroes eating the melanin. Dr. Africa did a lecture with a guy named Gilchrist. And in the lecture, Dr. Africa told him the regular suit, that the three-piece suit that we wear every day is old. The cut of that motherfucker is about eating black folks. He said that's how they first would cut them, the same way the jacket lapel cuts down into that beef
yeah,
state.
Into
he said that's how
state.
They would cut niggas to eat. He said that very jacket is a reminder of we eat niggas, straight out. He said he's seen cookbooks on the best way to saute a black woman's ass. You get what I'm saying? Eating you ain't nothing. You know what I'm saying? Ravenous is the name of that movie. Ravenous, 1999. So Guy Pearce and the rest of the motherfuckers straight up eating niggas and gaining strength. So they eat your black ass too while you fucking around, sitting around talking about chemtrails. All that shit is seasoning. You know what I'm saying? When they sprinkle them chemtrails, all they doing is putting some goddamn lemon pepper on you niggas. You get what I'm saying? Because they eating you. They eating you. You get what I'm saying? Like I said, in fact, that lecture is up on my Occult Lectures YouTube. Dr. African, when he's talking to Gilchrist, says, oh, he's seen Negro cookbooks. You get what I'm saying? So please, y'all just so out in the loop of what it is they do, what it is they really do. You get what I'm saying? What
right.
they're willing to do. Now this ain't let me be clear. This ain't the average white guy who's
no.
just trying to make it, you know what I'm saying?
No.
There's an elite group of halves of white folks that understand who it is and what their origin is. And then there's regular white folks. Regular white folks, you shouldn't even roll your eyes at them. Maybe if they stepped on your toe at the bus stop, that's between you. But as a standard, you need to get over that. You get what I'm saying? That's just human shit. There's a conscious 1%, just like there's a conscious 1% of us. And if you were to say there was a war, that would be the war. Those are the ones, that conscious 1% of white folks are controlling everything, including other white folks. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Other white folks really have nothing or too much to be suspicious of, because what they really believe in or they have to believe in, not only is what they've been told, they have less to question, less to challenge. They believe in the Constitution. They believe that bullshit is something that they could fall back on and somebody would take them seriously. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, so you that's the level that they're dealing with on. In fact, more of them are waking up based upon conspiracy. That's like their civil rights movement. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
For us, we really got to understand we're beyond this. But we need to understand their origins as well. Satanic rites of Dracula, Sin City, and Ravenous. See, the thing is, we don't think they're capable of that. Or the average black person doesn't think they're capable of that. Let me get some water. Hold on 1 second, Blue.
Okay. All right, everyone. We are live in the remix with Brother Panic, Movie Madness Part 3 as well. And Brother Panic will be hosting Brother Wayne Chandler in the ATL coming up soon.
All right, all right. Remember, you can always get your panic pack. I keep a fresh list of spiritual supplies, ancestor packs, love packs are the truth right now, opening up your heart chakra. We got dream packs, money packs, help magnetize some goddamn finances. Got the DVDs, all the chants that you need, Hanneman oils, you name it. The ODB shit is popping. You need to get a list if you haven't got one soon. You need to get a panic pack, even if you got one, because that shit right there, It's gonna make your life so much better, I promise. All right, Sin City. Let me get this book. Give me 2 seconds. I want to read you something and show you what was in the movie G.I. Joe. Give me 2 seconds.
G.I. Joe. All right, everyone. Don't forget, you can download this show and all the other remix shows by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/TheRemix and just download it that way, or you can go over to iTunes.
All right, all right. Let me see if I can find this real quick. I think it was in this book. If not, I remember it. It's either in, I don't know if it's in this book. If not, I can remember it. It's William Henry's book. I think it's in Oracle of the Illuminati. I think it's this. I'm looking through this one. If not, I can remember. It might have been in Mary Magdalene, the Illuminator, which is another book by William Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Either way,
yeah.
In his book, he talks about there will be this suit that the army has. They actually have it now. And it works on nanotechnology.
Yeah.
It will make anybody who wears it, it will make them run faster. It will make them invisible. They can be standing in your house and you can't see them. They will be able to jump, run, everything. It will enhance. They showed, this is why I wish I could find this to read this to y'all. They showed this exact suit in the movie G.I. Joe. Down to the absolute last detail of how William Henry described that the army had this suit in a book that was done years before this movie. A straight up nanotechnology.
Yeah, they've had this suit since the 60s.
Right, a nanotechnology melanin suit. They showed all of that shit in the movies. Now, in the G.I. Joe movie. Okay, and it was the rise of Cobra. What's the rise of Cobra? Rise of Kundalini. The whole movie is about America shutting down the rise of Kundalini. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And yet again, they throw this little thing in there. You don't see it. Now they got the G.I. Joe movie coming out yet again. They show on the White House that Cobra took it over.
Yeah.
Obama. They show in the scenes the flags of Cobra coming down over the White House, taking over Kundalini, two flags for the yin and yang force.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Two flags for the yin and yang force. They're showing that straight up. You get what I'm saying? And that is one for Obama and one for Michelle. You get what I'm saying? So now you're going to see how America takes back the White House from the Kundalini people. Ah, man. niggas is doing this shit. You got no idea, boy. They playing with y'all motherfuckers. Playing with y'all niggas. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Playing with your minds all day. Need to know this shit. That's how, like I said, go to the first two lectures and you can see.
Yes.
If you go to the first two lectures, you'll be able to see I broke down in detail how this stuff is useful for you. So if you're just getting in on this third one, you're doing yourself an injustice. You need to go to the first to see how this came and what it is you can do to offset it. You get what I'm saying? To offset it. Spider-Man 3. Spider-Man 3 was all about melanin, the science of melanin. Very good movie with that Venom, which is what? Here we go again, Kundalini. Or more melanin. The Venom represents the melanin in the Kundalini energy or the Kundalini fluid. Because spinal fluid is Kundalini. You get what I'm saying? So Venom, this black suit that once it attached to yourself, you couldn't get off. Now, if you watch the movie, this nigga turned into a straight Negro as soon as he got that Venom suit. This nigga was bopping up the street at jazz clubs, snatching up titties. You name it. You name it, this was going down. You get what I'm saying? And they had no idea they turned him into a straight Negro. You get what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And what was fucking with that suit was they were hitting these pipes. Now, you can look at it two ways, representing organ pipes or just it offset the rhythm. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it offset the rhythm. You know, so it was fucking with the rhythm and the melanin and blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So Spider-Man 3 is a melanin movie. You want to understand a little bit more about melanin, you need to see it. Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters. Excellent fucking movie. Excellent occult movie about Britain locking all them spirits up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Locking all them spirits down. Then the spirits get out. It becomes chaos. But there was a scene, you know, and they was bringing back Pazuzu or something, Zoo or something, which was an ancient Sumerian deity that was coming through her. Gateway was opening and blah, 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 blah. So they, even though they made it funny, it was very occult theme. And you know, they'll lock shit down. And then they also said the part where they said you need to clear your mind because whatever you think will come. And he said, damn, I was thinking about the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And it came in this reality. So ultimately, what that tells you is they made a play on whatever you think of comes to this reality. We need to understand that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The movie 23 by Jim Carrey. Excellent movie, excellent occult movie. Excellent occult movies having past life experience. But the number 23 is a very sacred number. If you watch any DVDs by Richard Hoagland, they'll tell you about the number 23. And if you map the world at the 23rd degree on the planet, and all planets are all of these gateways, the face on Mars is at the 23rd. I can't remember what they call it. It's latitude, longitude, but it's whatever they call it, the 33rd, the 23rd, let's just call it degree now, but based upon whatever system they're using for positioning, at 23 is our Bermuda Triangle. At the other side is that other gateway. So all of these gateways at 23, and so 23 is a very occult number, and in that show, it shows that he basically started opening up a gateway, fucking seeing this 23 all over again.
Right.
The movie Candyman was basically Osiris,
mm-hmm.
the return of Osiris, and of course, how they get you, they just made it a white woman that he came back for all of this kind of shit for, and he had to do, and she was this ancient love that he had to do, but they showed him in the hood, you know what I'm saying, coming back with that Kronos hood, you know, father of death, so Candyman was a cult on that level. Insidious. A new movie. Insidious is really about the astral world and how this kid, I believe, got stuck on the astral world and his, you know, based upon him going into this coma. And then the father actually went, had this ability and based upon lineage to go into the spirit world and save his son. What they were talking about is the black man's ability, based upon the melanin in the DNA, for our God-given right to be a spiritualist and to be able to deal with this world. Our natural psychic ability that is not a gift, no more than hearing is a gift if you
right.
decided to look at it that way. It is an atrophied sense of ours and a sixth sense, if you will. And it is nothing but sleep unless you wake it up. You get what I'm saying? Unless you wake it up. So
right.
we need to wake it up and understand you're not that special if you're doing it. You're only doing what
right.
you're supposed to be doing.
What you're supposed to be doing. Right, right.
All right. Miracle at St. Anna was nothing more. I mean, I don't want to say that. Was Spike Lee's first movie where he actually entered some occult shit, but some occult shit by accident type shit. You know what I'm saying? This mm-hmm. head was spiritual of this particular goddess, this Roman goddess, and he did this whole bit about the sleeping giant. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The giant who sleeps, and then, of course, it was a black man. This whole village knew this mountain to be the sleeping giant. And then eventually...
Right.
they see this black man as the sleeping giant. You get what I'm saying? And it was his first occult movie. Why Spike Lee was a minor threat in movies is because everything, for the most part, everything he's done was conscious attacks. They are way past conscious attacks. So he's still reacting to Stephen Fetcher and to Madea, which is all conscious attacks. Whereas that's why black people consciously say Madea ain't shit or Madea is the shit. That's why
right.
Cosby comes up against Martin and all the rest of that. We're still doing this media entertainment thing, and
mm-hmm.
we're still debating what crossing the line is via entertainment. You get what I'm saying? When they're actually beyond that line and dealing with the subconscious, they're attacking you where you don't even know you're being attacked. You're just looking for stereotypes. You get what
right.
I'm saying? So
right.
Spike Lee and Do the Right Thing, Jungle Fever, are dealing with stereotypes. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there are things, and if for...
Brother Panic? Let's see. If Brother Panic is still with us.
Was a hero. Yeah.
Okay, you kind of blanked out for a minute.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yep.
All right. You don't see many movies where the hero suffers in the end. It seems we do that to ourselves even more than white folks do that to us in movies. They just kill us in movies. But for us, the movie Coolie High, the movie Boys in the Hood, and
Cornbread Earl and Me.
Right, Cornbread Earl and Me, another one. And they show Cornbread Earl and Me and Coolie High in the same
yes
show. And I'm old enough to remember that shit. You know
yeah.
what you don't see, and I can't speak for Cornbread Earl and Me. The Coolie High, Boys in the Hood, and More Better Blues were directed by black men. And
yes.
in this, the hero is supposed to win. And the hero is supposed to win. And in Coolie High, they built Cochise up to be the template hero, kill him in the end.
Mm-hmm.
They built Ricky up to be the template hero. Nice guy, got a kid, doing the right thing.
Right.
Not a gangbanger. Got his college scholarship. You loved him. Killed him. You get what I'm saying? Denzel, the star, Bleak, Gillian, busted his lips, can't play the fucking horn no more.
Right.
And then he's pledging his undying love to Spike Lee's ugly-ass sister. You know what I'm saying? Also, in another one, directed by another black person, I can't remember. They were husband and wives. The same dude did the movie Biker Boys. And I had a girlfriend who went to school with him, but the movie Love and Basketball.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, you know, though they get together and you would settle for this as a love story, he still hurt his knee and he couldn't play.
Yes, he couldn't play.
You know what I'm saying? They're always giving you a reality or a reality check or allowing you to do this because this is how we see ourselves.
Right.
In my book, I make an example of it because I go through the science of the love story. And I was telling this girl this while I was writing this portion of it, and she said, that's not our story. That's why you never see us in this Tom Hanks fairy tale happily ever after shit. Even Julia Roberts, the prostitute, gets with Richard Gere, and this nigga, and they show you the fucking fairy tale. You don't
right.
see none of that shit. Your niggas are still dealing with Love Jones. You know what I'm saying? And even if they did get swept away, they still have to assassinate Bill Bellamy in the movie to make that point. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
They still have to have this extreme bad guy. You know what I'm saying? Tyler Perry is good for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
One of the best love stories that he kind of, and you can leave that to the actor and actress, was Gabrielle Union and Idris Elba in that lawyer movie, whatever one that was.
Yeah.
The father.
Little Girls.
Good love story.
Daddy's Girls.
Daddy's Girls. But at the expense of the mother. If you remember
right.
the savage animal mother that
yeah.
the real mother was, you know what I'm saying? You rarely see that in their love stories. You get what
right.
I'm saying? In Ghosts, you got these niggas. You got Whoopi Goldberg acting like an asshole. And you got this other dude that looks like an animal trying to kill this tenderoni white girl. You get what I'm saying? Whoopi Goldberg becomes at her service. But what they leave you with in that movie is that their love or white love is a forever institution that
That's
goes
right.
beyond this that goes beyond this world. What you got in Love Jones is if that nigga's dog pee on my goddamn couch, there'll be a Love Jones too where we working this bullshit out.
Right.
And you don't feel like I said, one of the most, I'm gonna tell you, every movie script that comes out, they'll tell you there's five people trying to sue saying, that was my movie.
Yes.
I wrote a script like that. But none of them hardly make it to court. The two movies that showed some real nigga progress both got sued and both won. They were The Matrix and Coming to America.
Yep.
Coming to America is one of my favorite Negro movies of all time. They showed you, I broke this shit down metaphysically so
yes.
thoroughly
yes.
before, semi-consciousness, I want to go home, you know what I'm saying? I need a manicure. He represented like a Puff Daddy Kanye. They know they gods, but they acquiring the bullshit the wrong way. Manicures and champagne, but that's not the real kingdom. So
right.
that represented semi-consciousness. I'm in dire need of a manicure. Prince Akeem represents the template of the black man coming to planet Earth, Queens, based upon alchemy and doing what niggas do. Working at McDonald's, let's go to the church, let's go get a haircut. You get what I'm saying? Also,
right.
the King of Soul Glow represented the king on Earth as well, which was a false king. You get what I'm saying? It primarily, for the love story aspect of the thing, what you have is a prince who comes, rescues a princess. And even better yet, to leave you with no doubt in your mind, Lisa was in Wretched. Her pops had money, Mr. McDowell. So she wasn't a wretched chick that all of a sudden she's seen a payday. You know what I'm saying? She had it good. She was going to get with the earthly prince of Soul Glow. But they showed you the happily ever after. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
McDowell said, fuck getting money. This nigga got his own money. You get what I'm saying? All that shit, I don't think they were aware of it, but I think it was deep in the subconscious. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Of these black folks to tell his story. Written, of course, with John Landis, who's an occultist. John Landis has done many occult movies. He keeps them light, but he did Thriller, if you don't know who John Landis is. I think he did one of the Poltergeists, too. I'm not sure.
Oh, wow.
But something,
yeah.
I think something in that era. I mean, we can find out right now what John Lennon is, but he's an occultist. So it is an occult theme if you think it's some niggas just put this shit together.
Right.
Without no, you know, with some old phony baloney shit. No, John Landis is a damn occultist. You know what I'm saying? And hold on, listen.
Right.
Let's see some of the things he's been doing as a director. So he put this together, and when I say probably one of the most powerful movies you could get your hands on from Negroes, there was a dude that came up and said, I had a script called Two Guys from Africa that I sent to Paramount that I wanted Eddie Murphy to be in. That was my movie, Coming to America. And sure enough, he was successful. He was a writer for a newspaper, and he sued Eddie Murphy successfully. I believe that was a punishment for Eddie Murphy doing that. And at the same, the next year, Eddie Murphy also did Harlem Nights, where he outwitted, he got these masters together, Red Fox, Richard Pryor, and outwitted white gangsters.
Sure did.
They told them how powerful these gangsters was, and when they call, you move. You get the fuck out of town. Not only did they kill him and rob him, they killed him, robbed him, and trapped the fucking police and bounced. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
John Landis did Trading Places. You like Trading Places? You think Trading Places is funny? Very occult movie.
Right.
If you want to hear the science in it, listen to everything the Duke said. The Duke said... The Duke brothers, them niggas was sitting there going, if you take everything, he said, he's basically saying, this white boy ain't smarter than this nigga. It's only privilege that makes him what he is today. They talking, they dropping this shit. John Landis did this. It's only privilege that makes him, he said, if we were to take all of that bullshit away from him, he would resort to crime. In other words, he would do everything you talking about these Negroes doing. You get what I'm saying? And if we put, they didn't go hard on this part, but if we put a Negro in his rightful place, watch what he does.
That's right.
And that's what Eddie Murphy did. You know what I'm saying? One of the greatest movies of all time. You know what I'm saying? They saw Valentine get in the car. That nigga just shook that liquor bottle and said, whiskey. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He said, come in where it's warm. Whiskey. You know what I'm saying? He had that whiskey, kid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this is John Landis that did this. You know what I'm saying? And of course he did Thriller. He did a lot of funny movies: Three Amigos, Spies Like Us, Coming to America.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't think he did none of the Poltergeist. He did a lot of funny shit, but he deals with the occult side of it too.
Mm-hmm.
Or he'll have the occult. Because the Blues Brothers was semi-occult too. But see, John Landis is one of them dudes that give it up to the Negro. You know what I'm saying? The average Negro. So the Blues Brothers is about these two white boys becoming true bluesmen or true niggas with
two
the
brothers.
You know what I'm saying? Two brothers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's a classic to this day. Shit. Dan Aykroyd now fucking sings.
Yes.
With Jim Belushi, his little brother. You get what I'm saying? He did tours doing this kind of shit. He did Animal House.
Yes.
And let me tell you who had a lucrative career. I don't remember the name of the motherfuckers, but if you remember the group that sing Make Me Wanna Shout in that movie.
Yes, that was them.
He said, them motherfuckers are booked to this day on college tours.
Yes.
This colleges, because that was a college movie. He said, for parties, your party will be live if you get them. And they still use that funny-ass name they had in the movie, which I can't remember. Only seen it once. He also did An American Werewolf in London. Which at that time was very cutting edge for the effects that were in it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So Coming to America was probably one of the most powerful black movies, and they got scolded for it. Now, after he did Harlem Nights, scolded that ass, sued that ass, the media turned against him and said, you ain't making the money you was making before. Eddie Murphy said, I got you, went right back to fucking Beverly Hills Cop and goddamn 48 Hours Part 2.
Yeah.
In the first 48 hours, he was nigger, and he was and he was nigger, coon, watermelon on a weekend pass. They cut out all the niggas. They cut out a little bit more of the niggas. But for the most part, and I'll tell you, because all of this stuff is actually in my book, the lineage, because I go into the Negroes in my book very hard. Y'all going to love that. And believe you me, we almost there. Believe it or not, y'all fancy pants, we almost there. We almost there. All right, give me a second, and I want to get to Eddie Murphy to show you how he started to build power and then how they shut that shit back down. And I'm going to show you what he did to get back in that power, to show you that it ain't just by mistake and these niggas ain't getting used. They do shit. They do shit. Y'all niggas need to hear me. They do shit to sell you out to get these movies. And I'm going to show you what Eddie Murphy did. 48 Hours, Trading Places. Those were his first two. And I don't know how old y'all are, but when I tell you, the numbers on those broke records for that day. Then he did one movie where he did a guest appearance called In Best Defense with Dudley Moore. Niggas was joking about that movie, but he made so many jokes about it, niggas forgot that. Then once he did Beverly Hills Cop, it was done.
Yeah. Yep.
It was done. It was done. He was certified.
Yep.
Then he did a movie called Golden Child. Golden Child, very occult movie, but it was an obvious occult movie. But all he had to do was play stupid in there. Just wisecracks, not know. See, at this time, what you had was sidekicks in movies. This was the sidekick era. It was an Eddie movie or nobody the fuck else, because there
right.
was no fucking
That's
body.
Right.
We
That's
just came
right.
out of the Richard Pryor era. Richard Pryor was the man that tortures past to Eddie Murphy. And I'm going to tell you where that changed. I'm just by going through Eddie Murphy's career, because he initiated or he stayed a part of that chain. So when he did the Golden Child, when they added him, because you see this guard now, it's clear. See, they understood they must control media. So they would give you one phenomenon. See, in the 70s, what they did was there was a phenomenon, Sweet Sweetback's Sweet Ass Bad Song or whatever it was, where they showed the Shaft character before there was such a thing as Shaft, kicking ass, taking names, sticking it to the man. This movie was the Black Panther anthem. So instead of trying to attack it, what they did was gave you 45 different versions of this guy. Shaft, Superfly, the Mac, T, Trouble Man, King Solomon, Sweet Jesus Nigga. There was so many people that were mimicking this kick-ass take name to the message was nothing but a badass motherfucker who likes to stick it to Whitey. You get what I'm saying? That really had no message behind it. And so after this era, they just flooded with 70s, and then this black ensemble cast, what they found out is if they use one of these black actors in white movies, black people will come. So instead of having black movies versus white movies, they just put a black person in, kill them off, put them in the background, or have them serving you now still like they did in the 40s, 50s, and 30s, but serving you more intelligently. Out of that became the sidekick. Now, Richard Pryor was in movies like The Toy, where it was subliminal. This white kid would buy him and have him do what make a fool to their blue.
Mm-hmm.
He would make him this fool and at the whim of this little white child. But how they would justify it, the white child eventually gains a bit of respect for Richard Pryor, and they are now equals, but not before Richard Pryor gets egged, powder thrown on him, made him wear funny clothes. You get what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, the toy.
So
the,
these,
toy.
The toy. Now, there was all of these movies like that. There's like, I got 5, 6 movies like The Toy that I put black people in. And then there were then the sidekick era became about where there was, and what even black people then would complain, these sidekicks or these black people Eddie Murphy was a big one. How come Eddie Murphy never has a wife? He never has a family. Everything he does in 48 hours is he may have his own agenda, but he's on the watch of the white detective. You get what I'm saying? He's on somebody else's watch or the sidekick in general. Even if you update it like Cop Out, Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan, which came out in the late 2000s, Tracy Morgan has no fucking life. He's there in service for Bruce Willis' family. So they're showing you a servant without and making you think he has power.
Right.
The Lethal Weapon, they reverse the roles because people were complaining. So the black dude, Glover, he had the wife and the family. But the wife and the family were doing everything to make Mel Gibson feel a part of their family in the roles of servants. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, including the first one where he jumps in front of the jumps in front of him and shoots the white guy. There was a scene where he says, "Take off your clothes, flap your wings and jump up and down like a chicken." So why are you making me do that? I just want to see if you would do it. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So they ain't playing. They ain't playing. They got you. So now after the Golden Child, Eddie Murphy with all of these sidekicks. Or wisecracking, no life. Axel Foley and Beverly Hills Cop. No life, no wife. Just you live alone and you just fight crime and you know all of this shit, but, you know, how to make bombs out of bubble gum. But you're not a three-dimensional character. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, nobody don't give a fuck with you psychologically unless they see you with a family. You get what I'm saying? You're not working for no family. You're working for some other shit. And, of course, they killed your white friend. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So you're going to do that. So The Golden Child was the show in a cult movie. By people like, The Golden Child was so occult. It's the show in a cult movie, but you going through it, but you're not even knowing your own power because all that shit's about you. But black folks did at the time like Beverly Hills Cop. Golden Child. Because black people love, niggas is wearing those fucking Golden Child hats, the little leather short hats and shit. Not me, though. Now, Beverly Hills Cop 2, he went back to what he knew in 1987 before he did Coming to America. That's the one we talked about. And he did that in 1988. In 1989, Harlem Nights, which he directed.
Mm-hmm.
And here you have him talking. Now, you got to remember, in this time, this was around the time Goodfellas came out, Casino. Even if Casino and Goodfellas came, Casino was a little bit later. Goodfellas may have come out in before 89. I believe it did. Let's say it came out in 90. All the mob movies were showing you white dominance as well. So
yeah.
You never questioned. Niggas are still scared of the mob, even though you see these fat motherfuckers. Like, put it like this. Joe Rogan, the nigga who used to do Fear Factor, he said some shit and it blew my fucking mind. He now hosts those UFC fight things. He's big on that now. He was a regular comedian, Joe Rogan. He used to do the Fear Factor. This motherfucker said, somebody said such and such Steven Seagal. He said, "You think Steven Seagal is bad for movies? He's just a fat motherfucker in tight pants with a ponytail."
Yes.
And I thought about that shit. It was like, hell yeah. You know, you thought Steven Seagal was like breaking on them. He's breaking on them, rocks the niggas' arms upside down.
Right.
Like, you'll see that nigga. Steven Seagal was smacking motherfuckers around. When he said that shit, he's just a fat motherfucker from the 80s with some tight pants on. He'll get fucked up out here in the UFC. I was like, oh, shit. And it just made me reevaluate what you grew up on. So we were we were raised on Godfather, that you don't go against the mob, this thing we do. You get what I'm saying? So now you had Eddie Murphy and Harlem Nights going that fat, greasy, 12-sandwich, gelatin-bloated motherfucker, fuck him. Fuck Calhoun. That's some powerful shit. Powerful shit. Let me tell you something. Like, you would look at 48 Hours, Reggie Hammond. I look at it, I remember, white dude, they go on the weekend pass. You ain't got nothing to say, watermelon. Get the car, Reggie. Go on, Reggie. I'm like, this is some fucked up shit. But Keenan Ivory Wayne's with his dumb ass on that documentary, Why We Laugh, about black people. He was a little bit older, and what he said was, when Eddie Murphy went in that bar and rousted up the rednecks, there's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Reggie Hatch. He said, them niggas was cheering to the sky because they've never seen no black folks knock off some hillbillies like that. So he was looked at as a hero, a fucking messiah. You get what I'm saying? To them, because they've never seen anything like that. You get what I'm saying? So now, after Harlem Nights and Coming to America, the media turned against him. Said, oh, he's getting fat. The magic is over. No, I remember him answering that. He said, oh, I only got two bad movies. I'll be right back at it. And he did. He went right back to Reggie Hammond, 48 hours, to get back in. Then he did Boomerang, which was very interesting. Because prior to that, it was an Eddie Murphy movie, a bust. This was the first movie such a star did something with an ensemble cast. Because while this was happening, while he started in 84, by the time you got to 88 and 89, when he did Harlem Nights and Coming to America, which was primarily for black folk, what you have is Robert Townsend, Spike Lee, and the Wayans brothers making this impact, and also the Hudlin brothers with the House Party, Martin Lawrence, Tisha Campbell, and those guys. You had black stars now, black movies. A lot of this had to do with the rap, too. The music was so popular that these movies started to become a thing. See, because remember, Halle Berry was in Strictly Business, which is a fucking rap movie. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Very close to it. So comedy and rap is what started saving it. Robert Townsend started doing HBO comedy specials where he introduced a lot of skits. Same shit Dave Chappelle is doing. Introduced a lot of skits and was embraced. And, Robert Townsend sold out. His first movie was, and I'm not, because all this shit is in my book, so I'm going to tread lightly. He did the movie Hollywood Shuffle, where it was a straight charge to Hollywood. Yep. Straight charge to Hollywood. Then they let all that media man bullshit fly. You don't hear from him no more. Hollywood shut him down early. And then for him to try to get back in, he did that Holiday Heart shit where he put Ving Rhames in the dress. He did some movie, I can't remember the name, it's in my book, where his solution was to kill black kids to solve our black problems. There was another one where he's blatantly trying to get back in their good graces. Even in that movie, he let them off the hook. They did a rap at the end of Hollywood Shuffle. And at the end, he had the white director say, it's not my fault. I don't even know. Get the fuck out of here to let him off the hook. So Boomerang was this ensemble thing that he did, which is very big. Martin Lawrence played with him. You get what I'm saying? Chris Rock was in it. Halle Berry. Robin Givens. You get what I'm saying? There was a lot of power in there. And most of them was Townsend's people, Hudlin's people. Spike Lee even said this about what's that boy, the dress boy, Tyler Perry. He said there's, I can't remember. He said maybe there's three or four ways, avenues for black people to get into movies. He said that's through me, through the Hudlin brothers, he didn't say the Wayans anymore. He said through the Hudlin brothers, Kim. He said there's one. He said, there's one other avenue. I can't remember what it was. Hudlin Brothers, him, it'll come to me. And he said, the fourth way is through the homosexual way. And he said, Tyler Perry ain't come through none of those avenues. He said, so there's a big homo way, you know, some casting couch shit to get in. He said, in the other way, you can, any black star that you see today came through one of those avenues.
Mm-hmm.
Or the homosexual way, straight up. I said, oh, word, because he gave the whole list of all the black folks that came through him, Mekhi Phifer, Denzel, Wesley, you know what I'm saying, that had to see him, you get what I'm saying? Other niggas was the Hudlin brothers. He said the Wayans. No, he said the Wayans. I think that was the other one. He said the Wayans, which was true. The Wayans and Townsend, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of them stars came through them. He said, Other than that, it's the homosexual way. Now, another 48 Hours flopped. Boomerang was for niggas. Distinguished Gentleman was Eddie Murphy's next one. That was a big time failure. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that whole movie.
That whole movie, that motherfucker was the greasiest motherfucker I could think of. You know what I'm saying? I've never seen a nigga more greasier than that. You get what I'm saying? Beverly Hills Cop 3 failed. You get what I'm saying? Failed.
Mm-hmm.
So now, but then he does The Vampire in Brooklyn. Now you had bigger stars. Angela Bassett was a star. That boy Alan Payne was a star. So that was again. But look what he did in the movie. Osiris comes back from the dead on a cosmic boat to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
To Brooklyn to get his queen. Telling her, you are greater than this. Why don't you want to be what you are? She kills him in the fucking ass. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're showing you that. Now, in between this, they don't have his TV shows. But he did, when around the time where he did, this had to be right, 95, 96. His comeback, basically, was The Nutty Professor. We didn't notice this because we loved his movies, but these movies were failing. Nutty Professor was the one he came back on. Right around that time, he did a TV show called The Projects. It is now on DVD, and in fact, I had them all taped and put them on DVD because I taped them back then just to see this, to study this shit. When you talk about this, The Projects, first and foremost, is our Holocaust. So to even make light of that Holocaust,
yes.
Is within itself tells you what it is. After he did that shit, he got The Nutty Professor again. He got the voice in Mulan. Then he got Dr. Doolittle. Then he got Holy Man, Goldfinger. Then he started doing Shrek, Nutty Professor 2, Dr. Doolittle 2's, Showtime with Robert De Niro. Pluto Nash, that's what, and when he did Pluto Nash and all the rest of that, he started getting $20 million a movie. He was already there a while ago, very high, like most comedians are, but $20 million a movie. I Spy, Daddy Daycare, and all the rest of this kind of stuff. In other words, he went beyond all
that
bullshit. Yes, because
at one time he was one of the highest paid actors.
Mm-hmm. At the time, because they tried to show you, now PJs came in 1999, so he was making a comeback with The Clumps. And Bullfinger, but Bullfinger, you could say that's his SNL roots because SNL mob rolls hard and together. So Steve Martin, see, you got to remember who Eddie Murphy was on stage saying fuck Steve Martin at one point. He was shitting. There's a skit where Steve Martin comes, when Eddie Murphy was on Saturday Night Live, Steve Martin comes out and Steve Martin used to do this routine where he goes into this rant, then goes, excuse me. That's like his famous shit. Look at that. If you can see that shit online, Eddie Murphy is looking at this motherfucker like, really? That shit been working all this time? Like, shitting on the site. And I'm like, hey, you shitting on the ISO. So they had to shut it down. Long story short, when he did that project shit, that's when it all took over. You get what I'm saying? And, of course, he was the highest paid because they're going to pay him well
to do that
one guy. That still trickled down. Chris Tucker, basically, by the time he got to what's that famous movie he did with?
With the guy, with the brother.
With Jackie Chan. The
Friday. Friday. No, not Friday. This was the other movie.
Yeah, Esther's going to put it up in 2 seconds.
Rush Hours.
The Rush Hour movies, I can't remember what he got the first time it's in the book, but by the second one, he got $20 million. And then the third one was another $20 million. And at this time, let's pretend Cuba Gooding Jr. and I did all of this work. Now it's all in my book. The Denzel wasn't even getting that much. Cuba Gooding Jr. wasn't getting that much. And these were supposed to be people who we are seeing as serious actors. Eddie Murphy,
right.
Chris Tucker been getting $20 million. No, I'm sorry, Chris. What's the other Chris?
Chris
the
Rock.
Indian, Chris Rock been getting $20 million for dumb shit.
Yeah.
Martin Lawrence came through the door, a $20 million man. At that point, it was $20 million. Will Smith, who came from the comedic role, he started getting $20 million. Will Smith, $20 million, $30 million, those are big ass paydays. Forrest Gump and them niggas was 20 million. John Travolta was 20. So 20 million was the standard. For women, the standard was 9 for 9 million. Julia Roberts was 9. Oddly enough, Jennifer Lopez got 9 for a minute. And even these veteran actors. Hold on one second, Blue.
Mm-hmm. All right, you guys, we're doing Movie Madness with Brother Panic live in the remix. And yes, that was
Eddie
Murphy's recent movie. Yeah, 1,000 words. Yes.
I didn't even look at that bullshit. This looks stupid. But these are getting 20 minutes. So, like, shit like Black Knight, this dude was getting 20 million for. This goddamn Martin Lawrence. Shit like, shit that don't even matter. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
But in the movie Black Knight, they was calling him a Moore straight up. And in the movie, he was hating that they was calling him a Moore. But then he got used to it. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same kind of, they were showing you the mind control. You get what I'm saying? Same way, you hate being called a nigger. You get what I'm saying? But it's actually one of your ancient names. If I say, hey, what's up, nigger? You're like, oh, motherfucker, how dare you? They was doing the same thing, calling them more. If you don't know the origin of it, you got to hate it. You get what I'm saying? And, you know, so they kind of show that in there. Let me see. So Eddie Murphy, definitely, through him, plenty of rituals. Now, I'll show you another quick ritual while we're here with Sana Lathan to show you. You could go to IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to IMDb and look at the lineage and date of, of when these movies came out.
Now, yeah.
And their origin. Let me think of a movie she was in. All right, Blade. So I could get her. And I'm going to show you another ritual they did on her.
Love and Basketball, of course.
Okay, right, Love and Basketball. But she was in Blade. I got Blade up. Let me just click on her name when it comes up. And I'll show you a ritual they did with her. I'm going to show you how they built her fucking ass up. Hold on, where's she at? Actually, let me do Love and Basketball because she was a star in there. I'll find her quicker. Love and Basketball. This is just so ridiculous. Well, let me say while I'm looking, you guys need to remember on July 22nd, Wayne is coming through.
Wayne
Chandler.
You want to be in the house.
And what you do need to know this time, we are web streaming live, so you cannot make it. That is the best thing you want to. That is the best thing you want to do. What you need to do is email me at atlantalectures@hotmail.com. You can get vendor information, web stream information, and advanced tickets. All the information you need about Wayne to get the flyer, all of that kind of stuff is there. So you need to email me so you can get all that information. Get your tickets now. It's going to be packed. You know what I'm saying? When I went and opened up Atlanta Lectures Day today to start, because now we are getting this done, what I found was 120-something emails going, I need tickets. So you want to get your tickets now, get your asses in the place. We got a lot of space, but you know what I'm saying? You want to get it popping. So Atlanta Lectures with an S at hotmail.com. To get that, of course, like I said, I'll get you the web streaming information. You know what I'm saying? Got my sister-in-law working on that, and so it's self-contained. She's going to take care of you. This is the shit she does, so it's going to be professional. We're testing it all weekend. She's here. She's in the building. So you want to get this done, and it'll also be available for VOD, video on demand, because you're in the U.K., you know what I'm saying? You might not
you might not make it.
Sit on time and blah blah blah. So you know. All right, let me try to get it here. She was now her father's actually Stan Latham, who if you just IMDb, this motherfucker been around since.
Stanford is son.
Even though, like, Sanford and Son up into goddamn Deaf Poetry Jam, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And a whole bunch of Negro shit in between. Now, she came out as an absolute positive, raving beauty in the movie, in the early movie she was in. But they've been getting her, they've been setting her ass up from day one, and I'll show you how they did it. And let me, as I'm going through it, we'll get to what it is, where it is.
Yeah.
Okay, we can start. Well,
I was just going to say, and her mother used to be an actress too, and danced with Eartha Kitt.
Hmm. So now I have a friend who's conscious, Lanice, who went to, what's the school from Fame? Arts and Art and not Art and Performing Arts in Manhattan.
Performing Arts in Manhattan.
Yeah, she went to school with her, and she's like, yeah, that motherfucker is something new. Ain't nothing changed. That shit is real life. It ain't like she was acting in that movie something new. I'm like, oh, really? In the first movie, Blade, she sells out Wesley Snipes for the white boy, Stephen Dorff. And Wesley Snipes was also her son. In the movie Life, she sells out Martin Lawrence for his cousin, the lawyer. Let's keep going. Disappearing Acts, she sells out Wesley Snipes again. And Out of Time, she sells out Denzel for Dean Koontz. Not Dean Koontz, the boy who plays Superman. So what they're doing is subconsciously have her selling out these leading men. And I think I'm missing some, too. Then they put her in. Now she's doing. Now this is because the other movies that she was doing was actually very powerful. Even though I speak about Love and Basketball and how it's not a true fairy tale level love story, she still fucking rocked that fucking role. You still fell in love with her ass. You get what I'm saying? And then she was in The Wood, where she was. You still fell in love with her in that movie. And then she was in The Best Man. You still fell in love with her in that movie. Then there was Love and Basketball. Wow. So then she was in Brown Sugar, which you fell in love with her in that goddamn movie. So when she did the black movies, you would see her in absolute love. When she did these big movies, you would always see her choosing this white man over the black man at the black man's peril. You get what I'm saying? Martin Lawrence in Life, that was his girl. He told her to call his cousin Warren or whoever the fuck, the lawyer. She gets with him. Martin Lawrence stays in jail. Denzel was out of time. He did whatever he did. She sold him out, set him up for some money shit, ran away. I think she got killed anyway. And in Blade, she was trying to kill Blade. And Out of Time was the Denzel movie. Now, she's doing these type of movies, and all of a sudden, she's in Alien versus Predator. Very occult movie. I did a breakdown on this, but what they did was raise her up to the goddess level on screen. Now, I pointed out these movies are spiritual and using spiritual elements with light and sound, manipulating you emotionally, and as long as you're seeing it, this is really happening. They did the same thing with Aaliyah before they killed her. They raised her up as the goddess Akasha, and then she was killed.
Right.
But Alien versus Predator, it makes no sense to symbolically kill her on TV or movies unless they raise her up on TV and movies. That's how you get the energy. If she's just brown sugar and goddamn The Wood, then it's Hollywood for attention. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But they symbolically have to bring her up as this great mother figure, which they did in Alien thoroughly. Had her fighting side by side. Alien, the Predator is nothing but the ultimate primal masculine energy, and the alien who's laying eggs since we met this hoe in the goddamn 70s is nothing but the goddamn primal mother goddess energy. You know what I'm saying? And so had her, she was playing the role of the mother energy, and then the next thing they put her in was something new. Her name was Kenya McQueen, niggas. Kenya McQueen. And what I said, listen, I'm not even going to go through that shit. I wrote damn near 20 pages on it, which you can get from me for free right now, where I broke this goddamn movie down. It was such the mind control. It wasn't something new for her. It was something new for the white guy who was trying to get into the kingdom through the black woman. And they showed that, and I pointed that out clearly. Tending her garden, ISIS, like ISIS is Mother Nature. He comes and say, I need to tend your garden, Mother Nature, with a goddamn long-ass stick. There's dick area, black. I was like, I need to tend your garden. Like, listen, this shit was ridiculous. He was rolling around town with a dog. Osiris goes through the underworld with Anubis.
Right.
Her name was Kenya McQueen.
Uh-huh.
McQueen, nigga. When I tell you this shit right here was like so blatant, but they had to raise her up in Alien versus Predator. And then they killed it in Nip and Tuck when they put her ass in there. If you watch the season with her and Nip and Tuck, you will cry. For when she was the baddest motherfucker in Hollywood. All goddamn rituals. You get what I'm saying? All ritual. She ain't worked for a long time, but she's kind of coming back. She's on the Cleveland show and a couple of other things she got going on. But for the most part, when I did that write-up, passed it to my friend who went to school with her, and in fact, I had a girlfriend, Shawana, who went to school with both of them, you know, later on. So I know, I remember both of them, Lanice and Sana, and said, yeah, oh, no, all the shit that you wrote in channel was fucking true. That's who she really is. And something new. That the father in that movie. See, what was interesting about that movie is because when they usually do movies like that, they show her with a no account Negro. You know what I'm saying? Who just
right.
can't get it together. No, he just can't get it. No matter what you do, no matter how many chances he's sitting on your couch with a fucking do rag on, talking about when my business kick off. You know what I'm saying? We gonna be fine, baby. No, they showed her with another lawyer. Which was played by, what's that boy, who played the fucking lawyer? What's the dude who was in Set It Off with the black dude?
Delbert Blair.
Not Delbert Blair. I knew you were going to say that, too.
Oh, I mean Blair Underwood.
Blair Underwood.
That's cute.
I ain't never seen Delbert Blair in Set It Off. It would be quite interesting.
I'm sure he has so, Set It Off.
Yeah, I'm sure that monatomic set it off. Now, like Blair Underwood was in it, but the what was, if you want to call it dangerous through this movie, Blair Underwood was a lawyer, and they presented him even in the movie flawless, no flaws, and what it showed was this white boy who really brung nothing to the table, was a gardener, had a groovy smile. She chose him over her perfect opposite because he was a lawyer like her, which is what? Balance, my eye, remember?
Right.
And with no flaws, simply because he was white, he was the better choice. And they showed that fair. They also did that, and guess who's coming to dinner? Sidney Poitier was a doctor in this movie, and they never said what the white girl did in that movie. But just because she was white, she was his equal. So they showed this, pointed it out. He was the perfect. You can almost live with if the nigga tried to sleep with her sister or some old kind of shit like that. He did absolutely nothing. They showed him as the perfect gentleman, but it wasn't enough. Her father in the movie said, go, run to him. It is what makes you happy. So they're constantly on this subconscious attack. And I pointed out more. You know, I point out some of the shit the characters are saying, just
right.
speaking straight to the subconscious. You need to get this. Email me, panicpack@hotmail.com. I'll give you something new for free. You know what I'm saying? I also have other breakdowns of a lot of hot shit, some of which I won't give out because it's going to go in the book. Even though Sana's going in the book, I'm going to give that one out. All right. Let's just move on a little bit.
All right.
Jungle Fever, like I pointed out earlier when I talked about Miracle St. Anne, he does nothing metaphysical. One thing I do appreciate every time I get the opportunity to say I do say it because ain't nobody figured this shit out but me. The character's name in Jungle Fever was Flip Her Purity or Flip Her Purity.
You talked about that before.
Yeah, I talked about it before. You know I'm going to yell it. Which meant flip her purity, which was saying the purity of the white woman, this black old Negro high top fade cornbread ass is going to flip her purity. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's more of a funny movie and a social commentary. But like I said, our attack isn't there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like I said,
right.
Some shit is a release to Dave. But like I said, the best thing you can do, or Spike Lee did, I would say, is bring Malcolm X to the screen. Even, I mean, just the audacity of that is enough for me to give him a thumbs up. You know what I'm saying? Just
mm-hmm.
the audacity.
Mm-hmm.
I Am Legend with Will Smith. It was a movie about him making a sacrifice. I talked about all of Will Smith's movies subconsciously. He subconsciously always sacrifices himself in his movies. That 7 pounds?
Yeah,
I Am
7 Legend.
Pounds.
Yeah.
I Am Robot, the robot movie, I, Robot, where he
mm-hmm.
jumps into the water. He can't get his life together because he couldn't save the little white girl. You know what I'm saying? I go through all his movies where he sacrifices. It's this running theme with him. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Constant sacrifice or strife. You know what I mean? The movie The Last Dragon, very powerful movie with Bruce Leroy. This is also a movie I put up high with Coming to America because in all movies, including The Matrix, let me go back to The Matrix real quick, because I pointed out, and I didn't speak on it, that there were two movies that got sued. Eddie Murphy, Coming to America, and I said, The Matrix, with the mother of The Matrix, Sophia Stewart. Why I believe she was successful is because them boys, you don't see shit from them no more, because they did
yeah.
a whole movie and put all of these powerful niggas throughout that movie.
Yeah.
That was a scolding. The two movies that I seen dude get successfully sued, it seems like they were getting scolded for doing that kind of shit. And you don't see nothing from one of the dudes is a transvestite now. One of the Wachowski brothers. And you could kind of, they were dealing mm-hmm. with shit in that movie. You could tell they didn't write it. Because I've seen them talk. I've seen all of us behind the scene matrices. And nothing, I know the level of cult that they're dealing with. That was one of my things, to really see, not even in what someone says, the level of cult they're dealing with is more subtle than what it is they're even talking about.
Right.
What they experience dictates
mm-hmm.
exactly
mm-hmm.
how far they've been. The conversations I have with Ms. Blue from the early days I was talking are different now because
right.
I react to, I can see she went through some shit that she's supposed to go through on her own. She turned that inward. So it is no matter what I've done to so-called help, something had to be in her that she had to activate. I may have been a part of that as well as many others, but so the fuck what? I'm only doing what I came to do. At the
right.
end of the day, it's still up to you to do it. And it's up to you to have the experience. It's up to you to change based upon that experience. So the conversations I have with her are different than I have
right.
with now because of change. You get what I'm saying? So when the level of occult shit they drop, I automatically knew that script was given to him. Now, to be clear, my understanding, Sophia Stewart, the mother of the Matrix, Tef used to read her books. So he was the one that brought all of this out. And he
yes,
brought it to Ghetto
it.
Time.
Yes.
And then Javon Bruckner of Ghetto Time helped to exploit and push for this lawsuit. So Tef did a story, and he's the one who named her mother of the Matrix. Now, her books, in the book in question, I think the subject is about robots who take over, become conscious. So it's not like there was somebody in her book named Neo or somebody, and she's, which is the same subject of the Terminator series as well, which she successfully sued them as well. So there wasn't nobody named Terminator or Neo, but the subject, which she wrote first, was about robots becoming conscious. That's the way I heard it. And she was able to sue. Now, technically, like I said, everyone can come up with a script. Technically, James Cameron, who claimed to make the Terminator, can sue the Matrix. Because it's the same story based upon that. Robots that become conscious and you get into a war. Mm-hmm. It's like you could, anybody who says, I have a copyright of this subject could bring it to court. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And so she did, and I think she's at the point. I don't know her business, nor claim to know, but I'm told she's making progress or done what she needed to do or got what she needed to get based upon her book, and we all probably already know the name of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So, my personal belief is why it went forward. Maybe it was a straight infringement, but those two movies are the ones I heard about. Those two movies are the ones where they kind of went against the goddamn status quo and raised up Negroes. I mean, the first movie with Morpheus alone as the all-knowing is enough. Forget what they were saying about the Matrix. Showing Morpheus as the all-knowing was enough. The only other movie I've seen them do that, and I didn't see any retaliation, was the character Calypso in the pirate movies. The second one, when they showed her in her magic. And the third one, when they freed her ass, is probably the best thing you ever seen. They straight freed and prayed to a goddamn 25-foot black woman and said, look, we need to free the black woman for us to survive. They told you that straight up in that movie. I release you, Calypso, my favorite thing.
Yes.
I release you. All right, so the Last Dragon with Bruce Leroy. I can tell you the straight on this, but I'll tell you a channel that I got. When I was channeling and heavy into channeling, Bruce Lee came, he said his energy was behind the movie. And I thought it was very powerful because even The Matrix, which you could say is probably the most powerful in its conscious message to talk to the masses, the last two, they still gave you a Christ figure. They still gave you someone to believe in besides yourself. They still gave you a Jesus Christ, which became Neo. Morpheus, the all-knowing, became Morpheus, the believer, because I believe. And so you rarely see movies where they tell you to look within. It's always to believe in someone or something. In The Last Dragon, this little Negro funny movie from the 80s with Bruce Leroy, produced by Berry Gordy, the same guy, I believe, Schultz, who did, I think it's the white show, who did Cooley High.
Mm-hmm.
And he also directed Crush Groove, did The Last Dragon. I'm 85% sure. In this movie, why it was so special, because Bruce Leroy was worshiping Bruce Lee. And he had a realization in the movie that he was the master. Now, while that shit was funny and corny and we singing Sukiyaki Hot and all the rest of that kind of shit, that's very rare you see on and from a black man. You know what I'm saying?
Right, kiss my Converse.
He realized the power of what was within. He spent the whole movie looking outwardly for the master, only realized it was within. Very, very powerful metaphysical movie. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Willy Wonka, Chakra Story. Willy Wonka, the chocolate factory is nothing but the melanin factory, players. You had Charlie, who slept in a bed with seven relatives, heart chakra. Charlie was all sharing, all giving. So he deserves the factory, which he gets. You had, now I got to remember this, you had the dude who was watching TV with all the red on. He was the root chakra. He was real mean. He had the demonic shirt on. You had one person who was blowing blue bubble gum. That was the throat chakra. You had a greedy motherfucker that represented sloth, or the second chakra, the fat dude. You had the aggressive girl who was making her father buy everything. Dad, get me this, get me that. Dad, get me this. She represented the solar chakra out of balance. A second chakra out of balance. Third chakra out of balance. Girl kept blowing the bubble gum out of balance. Charlie, the golden ticket. The golden ticket represents that golden alchemy that led to gold, represented the heart chakra. So he gets there. Willy Wonka represented the crown chakra. He's all in purple. Get what I'm saying? Doing some old purple shit. The Oompa Loompas represented also the fairy kingdom, melanin, or the DMT as well. You get what I'm saying? So all of them are there doing imbalance chakra shit, except for fucking Charlie. He's Mr. Nice Guy. He gets to inherit the chocolate factory or the pineal gland. And he's some power. So it's a chakra story. Men in Black 2. Men in Black 2 was a little bit more powerful than number one. Just all that shit they said to Rosario Dawson. You are the key. Mm-hmm. You are the this. You don't cry because it rains. It rains because you cry. They basically called her a goddess and sent her back to the cosmos. You get what I'm saying? In other words, you don't need to be the fuck on Earth, but not without showing her mother as a white lady, because they're not going to give you all of it. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, and who could blame them? You know what I'm saying? What else could they do to get a part of this ancient? You're talking about time here. You get what I'm saying? And again, like I said, I'm nicer than most. So I'll let you know that this shit is about straight evolution. And I'm not going to say that anyone can evolve. Let them evolve. You get what I'm saying? I'm a realist, and I'm going to tell you what it is. You know what I mean? Your origins are your origins. I think the more you deal with your origins, the more you better off and the more you being true to yourself. Anthony West, he married Swalla DeLuvis' daughter. Swalla DeLuvis is one of those scholars that got outcast because he said, all this Egyptian shit is black. They said, get out, motherfucker. He's one of the motherfuckers that he decoded the Temple of Luxor as the Temple of Man. In fact, in the Temple of Luxor, they have a hieroglyph of a sperm cell, and they still, no matter, they're in a pyramid or a temple, which they can't figure out to this day how to build, and still saying, I don't know how the Egyptians know what a sperm cell looked like without a microscope. While they looking in a temple that they cannot build again. You know what I'm saying? It's like y'all people are giving these people too much credit. They not, let me tell you, they can't, you know, 85% of the shit around them, they can't figure out, but they're sitting there going, I wonder how this sperm cell got up on the wall. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have, you know, microscopes. You know what I'm saying?
They couldn't have known what this was.
Right. Meanwhile, they could scuttle their butts on down the road to the Dogon, and they could tell them detailed information about Sirius right now. Not an ancient dead people, right now. Tell you what Sirius is doing, when it's rising, before there was such thing as a telescope on the planet. Once they found telescopes, they went back to motherfucking dust. How the fuck you don't even know that hot shit? Once they invented a telescope, and then the answer was aliens came and gave it to them. See, this is some psychopathic shit.
Right.
But really, it's a childish young race. They got shit to go through. See, if you look at it holistically, when we were Moors teaching them, see, your regular children go through this phase. When they're first born, you're their everything. You're their world. Then when they turn into fucking teenagers, they fucking rebel. You get what I'm saying? And then when they start growing up, they start doing what you're doing. So now white people are coming right after the teenage phase. Like to hear it? Well, here it is. When we were Moors and teaching them and showing them, when we made finishing schools, baths in Turkey to show them how to wash, when we created opera in the key of A, C, B, E, D to resonate with each chakra so it can calm the average beast, the beast in them. When we showed them, this is how you walk. Hold a fucking book on your head. You don't bend over on all fours. When we showed them, this is how you eat. Get them saying, upright. You don't stick your face in the plate. You get them saying, that's when they were our children. When they rebelled and took your ass on that goddamn boat, they were nothing but rebelling teenagers. Now they're starting to grow up a little bit because of all of this goddamn new age shit and yoga that they're doing. And now they're starting to think like you, and now they want to go green, recycle,
save
the planet.
Now they want to give you certification, take you to Egypt.
Well, but they don't think they giving you shit. They think you the nigga throwing the potato chip bags on the floor. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, that's true.
You know, while your ass is in Africa eating fucking manna. You know what I mean? For millions of years. Now, all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? They have to take charge and to save the earth. Too late, motherfuckers. too late. You get what I'm saying? So some know it's too late. So what they got to do is get on, they have to get it from you. They have to keep you locked down and hope you don't come to the realization, get back into the frequency of thought to pick up where you left off in evolution. See, they need to make you think the next new cell phone is evolution for humanity. Cell phones that talk to you. You get what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So you think you're doing something new, but there's this false sense of progress.
Mm-hmm.
Computers to laptops. You get what I'm saying? House phones to cell phones, to house phones to internet phones. You get what I'm saying? Sprinkler systems that come on automatically.
Right.
A bunch of bullshit that don't even really exist in It's not really science. It's a mock rendition of science so you can believe you're making progress. Because if you were to believe there is nothing here to do, you might just get the fucking notion to say, well, since I've been here the longest, maybe it's me who's done everything.
Right.
Maybe it's me who's done everything. That's why there's nothing here to do. So they have to manufacture something to do. We'll have better schools. We'll have better this, better that. All of that shit is a farce. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
A fucking
right.
farce. You get what I'm saying? So what you have is them just getting into goddamn recycling, getting into a lot of human shit. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Like I said, they almost jumped the gun with the hippie movement. But just getting into that is basically them coming out of their teenage oppression. You get what I'm saying? Now, not the powers that be. We're talking about the regular white
right.
folks. Regular white folks are listening. They are listening to the powers that be. They have nothing to question. For a lot of their time, shit was going good for them. You needed a job? Go get a job. Work down at the local fucking tavern or the goddamn general store. Pack groceries. Go to college. Be somebody. Now that all of that shit is drying up for them, wait a minute. Maybe I ain't getting all my constitutional rights I'm supposed to be getting. You know what I'm saying? Maybe my constitutional rights ain't kicking in like they're supposed to be kicking in. You know what I'm saying? They question shit now. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know, shit, I was in New York in 9/11. While this shit was going on, white people still sitting outside eating hamburgers and shit. Like, you know, they ain't got no fucking clue. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would somebody do something like that? You know what I'm saying? They just was just in disbelief. You should have seen the look on their face trying to be normal. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe later we could do our yoga class together. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, motherfucker, this is 9/11, nigga.
Mm-hmm.
A new day. You know what I'm saying? And then they told you it was the terrorist. Yeah, we got to get the terrorists. You know what I mean? With no question. You get what I'm saying? They starting to question now because they starting to see. What we need to understand is that evolution is behind us. We're not wrapped up in it. It's nothing to do with emotion. See, hate, you know, hate and racism, all that shit is emotional. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And what they're trying to do when they label you that way is keep you in an emotional state. Because once you leave the emotional state and you can check history, metaphysics, and science, you'll see a reality that backs up what I'm talking about.
Right.
You're not talking about hate. You know what I'm saying? I like white people, actually. You know what I'm saying? Personally, they don't bother me. I don't bother them. You know what I'm saying? I have more experience with black people who's done some funky shit than white folks. So my emotions ain't in this when I say this. You get what I'm saying? Like I said, I'm nicer than most. I think they have a chance. I think it won't be on this planet for long, but they will exist somewhere. They're still our children. We still created them, and they still will evolve. You get what I'm saying? I just say good luck. You know what I'm saying? My story is not wrapped up in their story. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And what we've convinced ourselves through some civil rights shit is our story is their story. It is not. You get what I'm saying? What they're doing is trying to inject themselves into our story and doing a damn good job of it based upon how much we love to tell their story of chemtrails and what they're doing to goddamn meat and all the rest of that. Now, I talked about this a little bit, and I know we're moving towards 1 o'clock.
Yes, we have about 10 minutes left to go before
I'm
the half hour.
Fuck that. I'm going to knock the rest of this shit. I'm going to knock these motherfuckers out real quick and still have time for fucking spirulina. Ray, the movie Ray. As you see in Ray, he was taking over. In Denzel movies, Malcolm X, he was taking over. Now, as I pointed out before, just like they can use this spiritual warfare against us, we could use it back to tell our story. That's what happened in Ray. In Ray, you see Ray's mistress on the road and his wife. Spiritually, Azulis came. There's two Azulis. There's Azuli Danter and Azuli Frida. Both of them came to me, and both of them classically are enemies because the energy wasn't separate. But what they told me, you have to be very advanced to do this now. You just can't do it. If you grew up in voodoo and you believe they should be separate, then by all means, keep them separate. I'm not talking to religious folks. I'm talking to scientists here.
Right.
You can be mixed if you know what the fuck you're doing and if you on some new shit. If you're thinking of some old shit, then don't do it. You will be fucked up. Black Snake Moan, Snakes on the Plane, and Freedom Land. Three unofficial, remember I told you it was a trinity of movies. All three had Sam Jackson in it. Freedom Land. In Freedom Land, what they did was took the Kundalini people and locked them down. They had a martial law and locked the Kundalini people down. Snakes on the Plane with Snakes on the Higher Plane, Risen Kundalini. In that, Sam Jackson was bald, sitting in the front. He represented the pineal gland. The stewardess wanted to be a lawyer. Mayotte, balance. They had to lower this plane through the whole movie. It was nothing but lowering Kundalini. Black Snake Moan. This white chick was the ultimate hoe. You know what I'm saying? In that, he chained her ass to a radiator. That was nothing but the Shakti Kundalini energy. Sam's name was goddamn Osiris in this goddamn, or Lazarus, which is Osiris in this goddamn movie. It was about chaining and locking down the Kundalini energy. That was an unofficial trinity. I wrote all of that shit up, and you'll get that in my book, too. Joe versus the Volcano with Tom Hanks. Very metaphysical. I can't even remember it going this fast. I have the movie, but very metaphysical. See if you can find the metaphysics. Another subconscious movie, My Super Ex-Girlfriend with Uma Thurman. It was about, she had the superpower, it was about the black woman. She had the superpower. That movie was called Freedom Land. All three movies had Sam Jackson in it. My Super Ex-Girlfriend was about the black woman who had these superpowers, but couldn't make it in love. Love was her only issue. She couldn't get straight. So she was doing the same shit, cutting up a nigga's car, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Fucking up a nigga's job, all this kind of dumb shit. You know, so that shit is about the plight of the black woman. Phantoms, as I pointed out, was Necronomicon. Immortals. It was about freeing the Titans, and then the Titans now are fighting in heaven again. This is something they're doing before 2012. The unofficial connection to that was Rise of the Titans, where they lock criminals back down. So they keep that. And the last one, a movie called The Fountain. Very important. Somebody asked me to do that. The Fountain, actually, not the last one. I forgot. I got a whole bunch of other shit. The shit that Tef wrote. And maybe we'll do it when we do a question and answers on this in another show.
Yeah.
I know we'll do it.
Yeah.
We'll talk. Okay.
Yeah.
If we got to do it next week, we can do it next week. If you want to wait, let me know.
Yeah.
But we'll do a question and answers, and I'll get in Tef. What Tef did, Tef wrote all the movies they did in 1999, 2000, 2001, 2002, up until 2004, all the movies that came out with the same theme. So that, you sent me that a while ago. So like I said, it stopped at 2004. So this is how old it is. Like I said, this is old news. We've been doing this kind of shit. This is over-the-hill shit, decoding movies. That's how we became spiritual, by decoding movies. So 1999, he's already got this shit mapped. And so we'll get into that in questions then. The Fountain was very important, very good movie, very complex, and it was about the ego. This dude wanted to live on Earth forever. He was trying to find the tree of life. He was going through many lifetimes. What was interesting, he would show him go to this astral world, into this bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back into the shows, Sean Cook, and you can get at Sean Cook at, I think it's Spirit Gateways at Gmail. I believe that's his email to get to Spirit Gateways. If you want the Spirit Gateways and that's not his email, just email me and I'll forward you his email. And at these gateways, you can find out from him what they are. I've talked about them before. But he ate a Hawaiian pizza and died and woke up in the hospital with a Spider-Man suit on. Now, he didn't wake up in the hospital with a Spider-Man suit on, but he woke up in the hospital. And what it was he's seen these bubbles and these lines. I went through this whole detail, but you could see that in the movie The Fountain, what happens when you die, how you go back and forth through lifetime trying to figure out this one equation. In the end of the movie, he figured out was to release yourself and let go, to actually die, which was actually the true, which actually was the true path out, not trying to find life on Earth. You get what I'm saying? Fountain is a very powerful movie. And I want to give my boy Robert a thanks. Robert's the guy doing the driving now, helping with the lecture. Very patient, very cool brother. He's a vegetarian, and he thought he was going to get away with this shit. Now, I'm going to make this story quick so we can wrap this up. He came to the house. I met the brother. I said, look, brother, you know what I'm saying? This is Brother Panic. You know, relax. You're a vegetarian. I got you. So I made him a hearty plate. Yeah, corn, French fries, garlic bread, brown rice, some beans. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So brother, eat the beans, bounce, and, you know, high five, see you on Tuesday, and all the rest of that shit. So his wife calls me a couple of days later and goes, oh, Pat, I just want to thank you for taking care of my husband, and he so generous. But why'd you feed him pork and beans? I said, wait a minute. What happened here? What we did? Pork and beans? I said, I didn't feed that man no pork and beans. Like, why would I challenge a nigga, you know what I'm saying, you're going to eat these pork and beans, you know what I'm saying, no matter what, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, I'm like, nah, I wouldn't do that. And after about 7 minutes of talk, she said, yeah, so after eating the pork and beans, I said, well, wait. The nigga ate the pork and beans? She said, yeah, the nigga. I said, those are vegetarian beans. I haven't eaten pork since the 80s, conscious shit, on some, that shit ain't even in my family. Like, I haven't eaten beef since y'all niggas was little. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm not like a grandma. You gonna eat what I put on your plate. So, I'm like, he ate. I said, wait till he get here. So, what's your modus operandi, player? Why would you think I would slap a spoonful of pork and beans? He said, yo, Panic. He said, as soon as I left, I said, oh, man, that pork is fucking with me. Then he said he went home and had to clean out. You know what I'm saying? Nigga took CKLS and shit. And then he said, you know, him and his wife allowed themselves 2 splurges a year. And I'm sitting there like, well, if y'all allow yourself 2 splurges a year, that scoop of what you thought to be poking beef, nigga, is not a scoop. I would have made you beef brisket or some kind of shit like that. You know what I'm saying? I said, you splurged off a spoonful of poking beef. You good, my nigga. I said, nah, though. I showed him the guy. I said, this is strictly vegetarian beef. Khadija don't even know how to eat that shit. You know what I'm saying? Our pans don't even have that kind of shit. Like, why would I do that shit? He's like, yo. So it goes to show you the moral of the story is your mind can make anything. You know what I'm saying? He said, shit, soon as he walked out the door, oh, I think that pork is fucking with me. So what that tells you is what I've been telling you. Your mind can make anything. You know what I'm saying? I said, you going to splurge off a goddamn spoonful of that, kid? You know what I'm saying? Shit, I'd have made you a rack of ribs if you was going for the splurge, kid. You know what I'm saying? So I want to shout out my man Robert, you know what I'm saying? And when he comes for 4th of July, you know what I'm saying, we're going to have a fresh can of pork and beans for you, my player. You know what I'm saying? A fresh can of pork and beans. All right, so I know we at that last moment. I know you want to close it out.
Yes, want to go ahead and say to everyone, don't forget, we're going to be doing a Q&A coming up real soon with Brother Panic. And don't forget for this show, if you like it, like it. If you love it over on Facebook. Leave a message or tweet about it. Download. And for the rest of you, we'll see you on the flip side. Peace and love. Much love, warm spirit. We're going to keep going, see how far we can get. I see a couple of calls dropping, so I don't know. In the after hours.
Yes, we'll keep talking till we get cut off and then kick us out
peace
the building.
Love.
So yeah, we'll do I'll look through some test lists. We'll do the Q&A, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, the next time, and, you know, y'all have movies, if there's movies I've seen, you know what I'm saying? We'll go through that, you know what I mean? The test's got a lot of good movies on here, too, you know what I mean?
Yes, that's going to be really good.
Test is a little bit more Dark Matter Wars, more than so.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The Vatican rituals are revealed in the order. Judgment cannot be averted. Terminator 3. Looking at this shit. You know, Morris versus the Skulls. Bones and British Masons. Searching for the Black Pearl. Pirates of the Caribbean. That is a fucking genius sometimes.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? Hidalgo. The Crossing of the Sands. Masonic. Yeah, he goes through the whole shit. So we'll go through some of him. We'll go through some of Tef's. Kill Bill 2, The Return of the Mother with Her Cub, in the jungle, wilderness of North America. Oh, wow. Yeah, he said that's the beginning of Saving the White Girl phenomenon.
Mm.
And he points out Man on Fire was another movie that year, was Saving the White Girl phenomenon.
Mm.
Yeah, so I'll do some of what Tef's interpretation in some of these movies. We're doing the question and answers.
Okay, good.
Yeah, see, the calls are dropping, so remember, you know, panicpack@hotmail.com for all your spiritual needs. Get a panic pack, dream pack, love pack, spiritual baths. Wayne in Atlanta.
Oh,
Yes, AtlantaLectures@hotmail.com, and you'll get all the information you need. Web stream. You lazy Negroes. If you're not going to come, you at least owe the support for Wayne. If for nothing else, what he has given you. I won't say what I've given you. I won't even go yet. But Wayne, what Wayne has given you, you know, he deserves an audience and that support, that love. You get what I'm saying? You know, this is how people continue to give you what they've been giving you. You get what I'm saying? This is how they continue to do what they do so they can give you books and information that you can use. And if you don't know about this book, Ancient Future, you really need to understand how legendary that is. How life-changing that is for
everyday reference book.
Right, who is seeking consciousness. You get what I'm saying? You need to understand how life-changing that is. And you need to understand and respect the brother who brought you that, not just for the sake of respecting him, because what he has to teach and offer is continuously life-changing. And what he's going to bring, you know what I'm saying, on July 22nd, right here in Atlanta, is the type of shit you want to miss. You know what I'm saying? Remix family, I know we're doing this for you. Y'all need to show up and make it worthwhile, you know what I mean? Make it worthwhile, so... You know, AtlantaLectures@hotmail.com, and also email me there for web stream information. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Email me there for web stream information. So it's on like hot buttity popcorn. And yeah, I wish I could have found that William Henry book to read that Melanin Soup shit. He described that whole movie. They could have wrote that whole movie from that script. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
but
yeah.
Either way, it's in one of those books. Yeah,
Yes. Well, we will definitely be doing it next time. We'll have that show. Have another part. It's always good to have you in the house. I know everybody's excited about Brother Wayne coming down at the end of the month. It's going to be a great chair. Don't worry. If you can't make it and you can't be there live, no matter where you are in the world, if you have access to a computer, you can be a part of the show. So
make sure you
email Brother Panic at panicpack@hotmail.com. There's absolutely no reason why you cannot be in the house with Brother Wayne Chandler and Brother Panic in the ATL.
Right on. I know Esther's going to do Esther came last time from Chicago. And I said, you need to understand, people are serious about this. People came from all over.
The two occult
Chris's, I call them. You know what I'm saying? My boys, young cats. They drove from Texas. mm-hmm. did the lecture and turned the fuck around and drove back. You get what I'm saying?
Drove back.
Like, people ain't playing about their edumacation. You know what I'm saying?
Always
sitting on the fence shit. You know what I'm saying? So I know I do appreciate those who are dedicated, and I do mm-hmm. understand if it's a financial thing. You know what I'm saying?
It's just a time constraint and you can't make it, I definitely will be on the stream. So
right.
that's another way to do it, you know?
Right, time time and all that. Yeah, very important point Blue just brought up. Time, you know what I mean? And like I said, it took my sister-in-law long and hard to find a website that can support live web and VOD. Which means this film will be up for some time, whereas you can see it at your leisure.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So you know that was a hard accomplishment. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And it's pretty much a new site, but we were testing it all week. It looks good.
Yeah,
I'm saying?
Good thing. Good
we bought a new camera, so it's on.
Good thing.
You get what I'm saying?
Good thing.
Very much so on. You get what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, like I said, I busted my ass to make sure everybody could get a view of this because we're talking to many of people who can't make it, you know what I'm saying?
That can't make it, yeah.
Many of my UK people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
oh, yes. Big ups to them, yes.
Yeah, so it is a party on the dance floor. Bring your ass. No parking on the dance floor.
No parking, baby.
No parking on the dance floor. Bring your ass. And Wayne is excited about this lecture, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But I know it's going to be some shit. Wayne came back. I was on the road. I had to focus. I had to think. And it came to me. Ancient Future Revisited.
Yes.
I said, I love it. Let's do it. Let's make this film, buddy. Let's do it. Call production. We need scenery. Somebody scout locations. So it's going to be some shit. I think there's still vendor space. Abena is handling that, and you can email me to get her information if you want to be a vendor and all of that. So it's on. This is where you want to be. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, this is the hottest shit. Atlanta doesn't have a hard built-in lecture circuit. At least that's what I'm told. So we bringing the old shit right back. We're bringing that old-timey feeling. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You ever see that movie? What's that movie, goddamn? And that nigga was going, shit, he ain't even old-timey. That goddamn, with George Clooney. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He said, shit, he ain't even old-timey. I'm bringing that old-timey shit back.
Old-timey.
Y'all niggas don't know about that old-timey. Yeah, y'all ain't even old-timey. You know what I'm saying? Y'all need to come and get down some of this old-timey. You know what I'm saying? This shit right here is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is going to be legendary. I'm looking forward to this one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, when Wayne gave me that title, I started looking forward to doing the lectures. Because I was getting, this shit was getting a little bit washed up with me. I ain't going to lie. There's a lot of shit that goes into this.
Yeah.
Doing this shit
behind
is a full-time job. Oh, my God.
Yes.
It's a full-time goddamn job. I had to call Brother Shabazz for goddamn advice. Look, man, how the fuck?
Brother Shabazz.
I open the productions play.
Yes.
And be like, yo, listen, Brother Panic, you have to cut down your overhead. That's not how Shabazz taught me, though. But I just mess with, I'm doing Shabazz. Brother Panic, see, Brother Panic, you have to cut down your overhead. You know what I'm saying? You have to do it all yourself. You don't rent a sound system. You buy one, player. I get what you're saying, Goldie. I get what you're saying, Goldie. You're going to be the baddest Mac around, Goldie.
Mm. Oh.
So, like, yeah, so, you know.
Yeah.
He's got full support. He's like, oh, man, they're going to, you know, he's always they're going to come out for Wayne. They're going to do this. Blah, blah, blah. You know, if you're in New York area, you need to get with Brother Shabazz from Eye Opener. Cause they putting on some spectacular shit.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, some good shows,
Richard,
great shows.
They just had Richard King, and
yeah.
There's talk of the Black Mongoose coming to town. So,
ooh,
like his sister, one of the sisters who got the cat, Aisha, I'm not sure, I'm bad with names, But she was telling me at the Aleem lecture about, what's his name?
Nityama.
Black Mongol.
Yeah.
And then she was telling me again when she got the cat. And I'm like, all right, well, see. She said, no, Ash Blue, because he was on Blue. I said, oh, he's on Blue Show.
Yes, he's been on here.
Blue's
going to
tell me what it is. Woo. I said, Blue's going to tell me what it is. Y'all, Blue is nice on the behind the scenes. Blue is Collie. Y'all need to know that. She don't even have that same voice. Like, I was like, where's that fucking radio voice go at?
Whatever. I am the same.
Where'd that radio voice go? Like, you don't even have that same voice. You know
yes,
saying?
I do. Yes, I do.
Okay. I ain't going to say nothing else. Now, anyway, so Blue gave him a shiny report. Blue would tell me a motherfucker is just full of fluff. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people I asked about, and Blue was like, well, wait a minute now. When they did that, I'm like, okay, that's what's real. He never lied. Blue gave him a shiny report.
Oh,
and
yes.
And she said, also talk to Brother Wayne. Wayne gave him a excellent report. So
yeah.
I'm like, damn, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if I was a little bit more advanced on these lectures, but Shabazz is. So
right.
I believe. That Shabazz, I don't put words in my mouth because I don't know how far they got, but they did have a conversation. So
yes.
If you're in New York,
Thomas
in the New York area, or get to that, y'all need to get to that because the stuff that Wayne and Blue told me about him
mm-hmm.
and his sister, Alicia, I believe it is, the sister who told me about the cat, she started crying. She was in tears at the lecture. I'm like, who's this thing, the black mongoose? It's the
yes.
mongoose, baby. It's the mongoose.
Oh, Nityama is
the man. She was like, no, y'all making fun, motherfucker. This motherfucker helped me, goddammit.
Yes.
I'm like, uh-oh, the mongoose must be serious business. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
yes.
I can't see, like, you know, you with your lady. It's like, nigga, you ain't hitting right. Somebody get the mongoose on the phone. You know what I'm saying? Oh, mongoose, you're the greatest. So, but they shit, the shit that they said, I'm like, shit, I'm like, the mongoose is some serious shit. I'm like, you study that shit. So I heard he's very, very, very for real, very serious brother.
Yes, yes,
knows
yes.
this shit, tapped into some magical shit.
Oh, yes.
So y'all need to get up on him anyway, you know what I'm saying? He has a, what he does is he does tantric work, but this motherfucker relieves blocks without touching your ass.
Yeah. I gave away one of his DVDs on the show when Nityama came on. You guys
mm-hmm.
can go back through the archives, and definitely you want to download that. He definitely is the man. He is
right.
Nityama, Brother Nityama. Great energy, amazing spirit, wonderful brother, doing great work and have been doing it. Woo! I don't even know how long. I forgot
yeah,
how long,
long
he's dead.
Time.
And he's been all over the world. He goes all over the world.
Right, doing this work.
Mm-hmm.
Like he has
DVDs available, too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good. You know, see some of his DVDs, because if your vagina's been on vacation, he's the one to call it in back to work.
You know what?
The mongoose! The mongoose!
Oh, gosh.
The mongoose.
It definitely. You know, I know everybody's going to be celebrating the holiday this week coming up, the 4th of July. If for nothing else, it's the day that you get off from work and school or whatever it is. It's an opportunity for you to, you know, get into some of your red, white, and blue magic and do that. Mm-hmm.
Right. Remember, I tell you, you turn any energy around, even if
that's right. That's right. Even if conscious niggas don't celebrate 4th of July. Oh, yes, they do.
Oh, yes, they do. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Because
right.
I've been doing this for 2 years now, so now I know. On Christmas time, them fucking herd pack sales, you niggas is straight up buying gifts. You know what I'm saying? You niggas is straight up buying gifts. Choo choo trains. Lollipop doll, candy apples, you know what I'm saying? I know it. Like, the first year I can say, okay, well, maybe it's me. But then, goddamn it, the second year I said, oh, now I get it. This ain't no Kwanzaa shit. This is some December 25th shit. You niggas are saving for goddamn gifts. Goddamn phony. You phony, baloney ass niggas decorating your houses, all that shit. You know what I'm saying? I ain't mad at you. Christmas is a paying holiday.
Yes, it is.
Each day has power.
Every day does, exactly.
Yeah, these are our cult days. They just put their names on it. So
that's
all you got to do is turn the energy around. You a nigga. I don't need an excuse. I'll celebrate
exactly.
Flag Day.
Fourth of July, red, white, and blue magic is powerful. And
I hope they make a holiday for Snapple. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I celebrate Flag Day. Who the fuck cares? You know what I'm saying?
Take your kids to work day.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Secretary's Day. I was walking around with a fucking pencil in my ear. You know what I'm saying? Fuck cares, you know what I'm saying? Don't give a fuck, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
Don't give a fuck.
Buy new shoes, day. You know, they got
Yeah, Bo Hurdle said, does Panic have a Santa bath? Yeah, I do. Get your ass in the bath with a bar of ivory. Ho, 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 nigga. You know what I'm saying? And look, the bath is successful if the soap floats.
And ivory floats.
Ashe. Ashe, my nigga. Ashe.
Ivory floats.
I say, nigga,
you already doing it.
So yeah, fuck that shit. Know what I'm saying?
Right. Every day is your holiday.
All you vegetarian niggas, why don't y'all grill some of them corns? Hook something up. Know what I'm saying? Grill corn. Some corn cobs and some scallions, nigga. You can make a miracle. You can make a miracle happen. I say, you're supposed to turn all energy and make it yours anyway.
You really are. You really are. Yeah, turn it all around. So we're going to get out of here, you guys, so we can come back. Brother Panic's going to come back and do some more of the movie madness and also
Q&A.
Yeah,
we'll sum it up with, because I'm going to do Tef's. I'll just give a little synopsis of Tef's the way he did his thing, you know, so you can see another perspective. See, because, and I'm glad I found this old movie breakdown that Tef did, because it allows people to have another perspective. It's not how I see these movies. It's my method that makes me see the movie the way I see them. So you need to start developing a method.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's what it was. You're not supposed to see it what I see. You need to see what you need to see. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to develop a method. So I'm going to show you another successful brother who developed a method, and he sees in some of the movies that I broke down, you're going to see him break them down differently. Or maybe the same, because certain shit is obvious, but you're going to see another perspective on it, so maybe it'll inspire you to find your own way in this shit. Instead of saying, Brother Patty, what do you think about goddamn, you know, the Planet of the Goddamn Apes?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Goddamn Tomb Raider. So I mean, that's the idea for you to be self-sufficient. In all of this,
That's
what this whole thing is about: self sufficiency and no longer needing this shit.
You
know what I'm saying?
Work it out.
You don't need to take that ivory soap Santa bath. You know what I mean? So like,
Oh my goodness. All right, you guys, we are going to close out. We're going to get out of here. Have a wonderful weekend. Peace and love to you guys. Always a joy to have Brother Panic come by. Of course.
Peace, Bo Hurdle. Glad you came to the show.
Yeah, he was at the Atlanta Lecture, too.
Okay. I can't even talk shit. Now, let me say this real quick, because you should see goddamn Lionel. You know what I'm saying? This nigga came through the door like a stunt double for Schwarzenegger. I may talk some shit about him in the room that he would walk through, you know what I'm saying? Or some other shit, but say, hey, what's up, Brother Panic, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, shit, some of these motherfuckers walking, these motherfuckers work the fuck out. Y'all done heard some different shit on the remix. I say the wrong shit. Y'all done heard a different story in the remix. Panic gets his ass stuffed in the bottom of the can. Ache. You know what I'm saying? Panic gets his ass stuffed in the garbage can. That's front of everybody. You know what I'm saying? In front of everybody. You hear that shit on the, you hear that shit on another vlog talk. What happened at the election? We stuffed Panic's ass in a garbage bin. For batar. You know what I'm saying? This nigga, when I say this nigga is diesel, these, I mean insane diesel. There was like four or five niggas. Every nigga that came through the door with muscles like that shit, I was sitting there going, I was hoping they go, yo, Brother Panic, we love your work. Brother Panic, when you said that fucking bullshit, Brother, as soon as I heard Brother Panic, we love your work, I was like, cool, I gotta, if another nigga with muscles come in, I know the fucking call. Yo, L, could you come in for a quick second? You niggas need to scrap. You scrap it out. He's fucking with the knowledge right now. This nigga said melanin wasn't shit, man. To like, nah. So I mean, if you motherfucker come to the election, it'd be some other shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
that's why you
right.
See me. All right, Bo Hurdle. All right. So it's not glad you came to this shit. Niggas come with, niggas start coming with knives, fucking nunchucks.
Nunchucks. Oh my
God. Yeah, I be talking shit to niggas. The niggas be. Niggas be holding up black, like, I look on Facebook, these niggas got black belts. You know
I
what
know.
I'm saying?
They, a lot of them.
I'm like, yeah, I'm you saying this shit, I ain't got nothing but fucking, not, I mean, I've knocked niggas out, but shit, these niggas been trained.
Wait,
so my
I've
ass
done,
in Atlanta
I've
sewer.
Done a lot of Akashic Records for them, so they done did it in another life, too.
right. Double life, black belt, triple belt.
A double ninja.
That's right. let me let y'all niggas do. I'm bringing magic. You come to this shit, fuck that. I'm shriveling up private parts. You know what I'm saying? I'm taking family members. No one gets away safe.
Oh,
you throw me in the garbage bin, I'm taking family members. Well, all right, so you got that one. That's going to be on Blog Talk. But what? Y'all going to catch, your whole family going to catch some shit like leprosy. Like some shit that don't even exist no more. Leprosy. Scurvy. Scabies.
Oh, my goodness.
Psoriasis. Psoriasis. You know what I'm saying?
Be itching
mad
all
cow
the time.
Disease. You'd be the first human with mad cow disease. Not from the mad cow. You'd be doing what the cows do. I'm getting you. I'm calling on every. You throw me in the garbage. I'm calling on every transient demon I know. Motherfuckers, y'all niggas ain't heard of. Know what I'm saying?
Oh,
spaghetti
God.
Demons. I'm calling on everything. You know what I'm saying? And I got the liquor to back that shit up. Know what I'm saying? Calling on everything. You know what I'm saying? This is a calling all cards. This nigga threw me in the garbage, man. This nigga done threw me in the garbage bin. Calling all cars. I'm calling some ancient shit. Know what I'm saying? Is April still in the room? This dude emailed me. This dude emailed me and was like, yo, I don't know who this girl April is. She told me to fuck with a yard set off on Wednesday.
Oh,
see, I woke up Thursday in the hospital. I don't even know what happened. I woke up with a Spider-Man suit on. Can y'all sit all fuck you up like that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dog, you woke up with a Spider-Man suit. You don't know what you did in between that. How'd you get that suit on, kid?
Wow.
I don't even know where I got the suit from, kid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you're going to wake up with a Spider-Man suit on. Believe that. I get thrown in that garbage bin. That's it. You know what I'm saying? But don't think, let me not make it seem like it's an easy throw, neither. You know what I'm saying? We both going in the garbage bin. You need to know that. But still, when I come out, you know what I'm saying? I'm going right to the fucking Botanica. Fuck the lecture. I'm going to Botanica. I'll see y'all niggas in a little bit.
What'd you say? You going to the Botanica?
Yeah, I'm crawling out the dumpster and I'm going to the Botanica. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
y'all
wow.
Niggas stay at the lecture. I'll be at the Botanica.
All right.
You know what
everyone.
I'm saying?
We're going to go ahead and close out. We're going to
calling all cars.
Calling all cars. Download. Peace and love, everyone.
Peace.
See you guys next
Atlanta
week.
Atlanta lectures, y'all. Y'all better email. Come on now. Let's get
that's
it on.
It.
We're taking tickets now.
Brother
peace.
Wayne Chandler is going to be in the house.
Wayne's in the house. Get you an herb pack. Stop fucking cheating yourself.
That's it. And
don't
you know
cheat
what?
Yourself. Treat yourself.
Yes, treat yourself. Get an herb pack. And get a deck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You need the Oracle deck. You know what I'm saying? What the heck? Get an Oracle deck.
Brother Wayne has a deck, too. So know that.
Oh, yeah. If y'all don't do nothing else, y'all need to get that deck for that goddamn Mayotte card, man. That shit right there.
Oh, God.
Let me tell you, Pure Feminine emailed me. I didn't get a chance to hit up that show. I'll send you that artwork. I was like, oh, thank you, because you wasn't, boy. You was going in that dumpster. So, yeah, I seen her email. It's just so busy. I haven't got a chance to email. But she offered to send it to me. I really appreciate that because that Mayotte art, she offered to send me the original artwork. Everything on there,
everything
on those cards are fucking crazy. That mutt is crazy. The ice is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
The segment is crazy.
Yes.
So, I mean, everything on there has got something cracking for real.
Yes.
That Mayotte just stood out. So, you know, Pure Feminine did that.
She told me she finally heard the show,
Right, she said she heard it a little bit later.
Yeah.
And we shouting her out, but you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm going to definitely appreciate that art that she sends me. And like I said, you know, these cards are real powerful, you know what I'm saying? I can't say enough about them, you know what I mean? And I'm sure Blue Hat. Just get you a deck. First of all, it's not that expensive, and it's a very easy oracle system to follow, you know what I'm saying? Usually you're looking at them just trying to figure out the symbology. But see, that's because Negroes don't do them. Now you have a pure feminine Negro doing these. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she did the artwork. You know,
this is a three Negro collaboration. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So these are from us. So it's from our psyche or not from people who's imitating our psyche. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it goes a very different, powerful way. Even if you're not into divination, this is something you can use to guide. You can pull a card and see how your day is going to go.
That's right.
Even though I can channel and do all of that, there's times I've been doing that lately with blues cards. I'll just shuffle them, no spread, just randomly pull a card. You ask the question first, like, should I go to here? Should I go to the store? Should I let my son go here? Let my son go to the store, and then you pull a card.
Yeah.
It's real simple. You got to do no spread, learn no shit, or no other shit. So this deck is I used to do that with all decks, but this deck almost seemed like it was built that way. For you to get one word, questions, straight questions to answer. So if you don't have that shit, I'm not just trying to be a sales pitch, man. If you don't have that shit, you know what I'm saying, calling all cars, you need to get that.
For real. Good talk. Yeah, because it really is designed that way. I have kids as young as 7 and 3 pulling from this deck, and people who have never touched anything divination, 75 and 80. There really is no learning curve. And even if you want to hear something, all the channels, everything I got from the deck, everything about it, you get an hour audio that goes along with it, plus all the channels in detail. But the great thing is it tunes itself to you. And so Mayotte may mean one thing to you. Whenever I see certain cards in the deck, I know what it means to me. And that's the difference with the Oracle deck, because you're going to know what that means.
Let me say this, too, before I forget or we get cut off.
Mm-hmm.
It also works if you're an advanced user as well.
Yes.
It's not dumbed down. So, the imagery, what's great is the imagery is so advanced on the artwork that if you're an advanced person in divination systems or you just study the mythology or our symbology, it still works. That Mayotte, that segment, all that shit that you're looking at, the lover's card, that Zulu Union, I think it's called. When you look at it, you still see advanced symbology. But if you also can, it is presented in such a way, if you don't do that type of work or you aren't that advanced as of yet, you still can get something out of it. And that's really a big deal. You know what I'm saying?
Beautiful. And so it uses colors, numerology, all the sciences in there, the signs, the symbols, everything that's in there. I promise you, a lot of channeling went into that. And everybody did their thing. So, you guys, you need that. Every household, my goal is for everyone listening to the remix, and it's over 1 million of you, have this deck, and everybody in the household, you ain't going to want to share. I promise you, people come back and place 3-4 orders because they don't want to share their deck.
Right.
And you shouldn't.
Right. Well, you're not. It's not really good to share
right.
your deck anyway.
No.
I mean, any standard tarot person will tell you
that's
that
right.
your deck is supposed to be your deck. Even if you, some tarot people, even if you're doing divination for them,
that's right.
They still don't let some people touch their deck. Some people
that's
let
right.
people touch their deck.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to touch any deck that isn't
mm-hmm.
yours.
That's
actually,
right.
If you went to a store and you would have bad luck, if you just went to a store and looked at some tarot decks and didn't buy them,
mm-hmm.
touching them. So the idea is each tarot deck is never supposed to be touched. And some people, if they're doing divination for people, let you touch them. Some people do not. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
a shared deck is not a good idea spiritually
no.
anyway. And
no.
not just because we're saying so. That's a classic understanding.
That's right. You can pick up any book, like Brother Panic was saying. It will tell you those basic things. So, you know, get
right.
a deck for yourself. Get a deck for the kids. Get a deck, you know. You know, everybody's doing readings all over. And so just real magical things happen, herb packs, lectures, audio books, magical classes. The Kim Business Class started off the chain. Brother Panic's going to be doing classes soon. So this is really
right.
the time for you guys. All the stuff, wanting
tools.
To be empowered, have these tools so you can do this stuff yourself and get yourself in the best position. It's time to do it now. So email Brother Panic, panicpack@hotmail.com. You want to check out the lecture, you know, email him at atlantalectures@hotmail.com. You know how to reach me, Miss Blue, question4blue@gmail.com. We'll be back next week sometime doing some more shows, doing what we do. Until then, peace and love, everyone. Have a good night. Don't forget to download.
Peace.
Peace, everybody.